about puppets. So easy.
You gotta put it in perspective.
These people in this circle is what matters to you. You are the people I want by my side for the rest of my life.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
How many times have I told you, you cannot trust the system?
When you're in the system, they switch the flip and you're done. Man, satellites, cell phones, chips, net, the web, the dentist.
Just finished my feature.
What's a feature, Daddy?
A feature is Hollywood industry jargon for a screenplay. You know what motion pictures are?
Human centipede.
Human centipede, yes, Shayna. You remember we watched that film?
They ate the poo-poo.
That's right, they did eat the poo-poo. And you know what? Those people didn't just make that up on their own. Someone had a right that they ate poo-poo. That's what a feature is. That's what a screenplay is. That's what your dad just did.
And now...
I'm gonna go wash all this old lady vagina off me.
Our feature presentation.
Oh, that is not the way you want to start.
Isn't it?
Not me.
Eating the poo-poo and old lady vagina?
Nope.
Okay.
Nope.
Good morning, everyone. It's 5:33. It's Wednesday, the 2nd of October.
It certainly is. Speaking of not the way you want to start, maybe not everybody is ready to discuss food yet. But here's a guy who's in the news. His name is Derek Nance. He's 30. He lives in Kentucky. He has an unusual diet. We've talked from time to time about people who have a limited diet. They only eat the same kinds of foods over and over again. Right. I always find that fascinating. He only eats what? Do you think? What's the
one thing
he eats? It's pizza. One food group. It's a
food group.
Yeah. Pizza is a great guess. That's exactly what I'm talking about. It's one food group, but that's the only food he eats. He doesn't eat anything else but this.
One food group? Well, you'd think it would have to be meat?
Yes.
Yes.
Meat.
Really?
That's it.
Nothing else?
Nope. No vegetables. No desserts. No potatoes.
Nothing. How old is he?
30. Just meat. And only meat that he has slaughtered himself. He consumes the entire carcass, the innards and the fat included.
Ugh.
He apparently has had some stomach problems. He says 5 years ago, he was vomiting constantly and he began to experiment with several diets. Doesn't mention anywhere in this article that whether he went to doctors or not and they diagnosed why he was vomiting. But he tried different diets, including a vegan diet. He tried lots of different things. And the one that he has found that has worked for him, the one that he says has made him physically stronger and more physically robust, is a meat-only diet. And by the way, no expiration date on the meat either. He eats rotten meat as well. He says,
oh my God.
He says that's probiotic and that helps his stomach too. Lamb is his preference. He says there is a video on YouTube that I did not watch of him from 2012 cracking open a lamb leg that had been aging in the fridge and then sucking out the marrow, washing it down with a cup of blood.
That sounds terrible.
There's also a Vice.com video where he is driving down the road and spots some rabbit roadkill and slices a piece on the road and eats it right off the knife.
He doesn't even try to cook this stuff?
apparently, meat is meat. One dietitian interviewed says, although there are some benefits to removing sugar and salt from your diet, he has also eliminated several important food groups like dairy and grains, which provide essential nutrients such as calcium, vitamin D, magnesium, and phosphorus, B vitamins, fiber, antioxidants. He's not getting any of those things.
Yeah.
So she said, strangely, nutritionists are not recommending a meat-only diet.
That's crazy.
5 years he's been doing this and says he feels better than ever before.
I'm sure he does until a year from now when he's in the hospital and the doctors go, you're an idiot.
That is no bueno, in my opinion. That is not for me. I am not
hungry.
Yeah, no kidding.
Wow. All right, let's talk about today's Kevin DeBeecho, shall we?
You're special. You are a very special boy.
Thanks. We're going to talk to Kevin from the league, actor Steve Ranazzisi. Very funny guy. Talk to Brian Deegan on the program today, talking about the Off-Road Expo. We have Doug Benson in studio.
Wow.
Comedian, talking about basically smoking weed, which is, you know,
Yeah, he's got his new series, Getting Dug with High, where he claims he's going to be smoking weed live on the internet every day or once a week or something like that at 4:20 with a celebrity.
I think it was on Wednesdays, too, so maybe today kicks it off. Maybe that's great. What's coming in. Joe Rogan, comedian, also doing some shows, UFC announcer, and he's got that sci-fi show. I don't know if you watch that or not, but he's got Joe Rogan's got crazy eyes.
Yes, he does.
You look at him, and he puts his eyes up, and you go, wow, that guy... There's something wrong there, right? Is there something wrong with Joe?
I don't know. I think Joe is very smart.
I do
like
too.
Him very much.
But there's something wrong with Joe.
He's unusual.
That's cows can suck it.
Right. Thank you, Joe. Words You Hate, also on today's Kevin and Bean Show, and a bunch more. So we're going to take a break. We'll come back with the Showbiz Beat.
And now, a moment with Ralph.
Call right now, 1-800. 10 Nope. I'm so tired. 1-800-5-6 What is it?
No, no.
No one else.
You do it.
You know the number. Call now. 1-800-520-1067
There we go.
There's the number.
That was a moment with Ralph.
That was sweet.
We have all been there, by the way.
Just one of those
moments. Every one of us.
Just one of those moments where you've said something for 15 years and then you cannot remember. Nuts.
Yep.
Nuts.
You don't have to explain it to me.
A hole in your brain.
Adam Carolla joins us right after the top of the hour here on a Wednesday morning Kevin and Bean Show. First time for the Showbiz Beat. Here's Ralph.
Happy Peanuts Day, everybody. Happy Peanuts Day.
It's Peanuts Day?
Yeah.
All right.
On this day, back in 1950, the comic strip Peanuts first appeared.
Yay!
In newspapers. It was the first time it was painfully unfunny. And
right.
It went on to be painfully unfunny for the next 63 years. So, congratulations, Peanuts.
I love Peanuts so much.
Makes sense.
Aren't they...
Something corny and unfunny would just be right up your alley.
Aren't they making a movie right now? Isn't that in the works right now? A film's coming out?
An sure hope
movie?
So. That would be great.
You're a dead man, Charlie Brown.
Lucy would hold the football and Charlie Brown would fall.
Can you remember that?
Oh.
Then Linus would carry a blanket and Lucy would give advice for a nickel. Oh, it never stopped being funny.
Kevin, did you deprive, because of your hate of Peanuts, did you deprive your kids of the Halloween and Christmas Peanuts specials when they were growing up?
I left them to find them on their own, if that's what you're saying.
He didn't introduce them to the Peanuts specials, because those are both awesome specials.
Right. That's what we're
even
saying,
you,
too,
even
right?
You would agree, right, Ralph?
The TV specials were well done. The comic strip itself was freaking horrible.
How dare you?
Not once I ever opened a newspaper and go, oh, that's Snoopy. It never happened.
What about when Snoopy was the World War II flying ace, though, and he was out trying to kill the Red Baron?
That's not funny.
That does sound funny.
Not funny.
It's a delusional little beagle.
You're a delusional little beagle.
I love peanuts so much.
Can you please stop that Peanuts music?
Yes, I can.
Can we make that happen?
Sure.
Soon?
Now?
Yeah, I'm happy to.
All right. Now?
All right.
Congratulations to my buddy Mark Paul Gosselaar and his lovely wife, Catriona. They have a new baby. Their first child together last week. Decker Gosselaar. Decker. It's a pretty cool name.
Decker Gosselaar.
Decker Edward Gosselaar. Well, it's got to have Gosselaar, Kevin. That is his last
name.
Well,
I know, but Decker.
Decker.
Huh.
Decker's a pretty cool name. Kid's going to get a lot of trim. That's all I'm saying. It's going to be the Casanova of the schoolyard.
I'm not sure.
Decker. Hey, I'm Decker. How you doing? Yeah. Catherine Zeta-Jones and Michael Douglas, according to which sources you believe, are either back home together, moved back into their couple's New York home, hammering out their issues, or not back together and not talking to each other, depending on which sources you talk to.
So we don't have any idea.
We have no idea what's going on with them. And this is sad news, especially for radio geeks like Bean out there. Casey Kasem not doing well. The 81-year-old is suffering from advanced Parkinson's, apparently.
Oh, no kidding. Aww.
Struggling in his last days, say sources close to the family. What makes it even sadder is Casey's wife, Jean Kasem, who you may remember from Cheers and a spin-off series called The Tortorellis, played... Dan Hedaya played Carla's ex-wife, Carla's ex-husband, and she was sort of the blonde, statuesque bimbo that he was married to.
Right.
Jean Kasem, actress and wife of Casey, isn't letting Casey's kids from another marriage, Kerry, Julie, and Mike, see their dad.
That's sweet. That's good when he's dying.
As he ends his time here on this planet. So much so that Kerry, Julie, and Mike were picketing outside the Kasem home with signs begging to see dear old dad, and Gene called the cops on him. So, good dynamics there with the family. Good dynamics.
How cold-hearted do you have to be?
That's brutal. I don't know what's going on in that family and what issues they have, but whatever they are, you put them aside and you let kids see their dad. And,
totally.
And whatever's going
on. And they say they don't want any, it's not, they don't want money or anything like that. They're not trying to change the will. They just want to see their dad before he dies.
Yeah, and who would put up a roadblock between
that's
family like that?
That's pathetic.
So, Kerry, Julie, and Mike apparently were, I had to resort to sending Casey Kasem a long-distance dedication.
Is that right?
That's how they did it, yeah.
That's good. Dear Dad, you're dying. We sure would like to see you, but that bitch of a stepmother won't let us in.
Long-distance dedication.
Thinking of you, Dad. Here's Lionel Richie's Truly.
Recently, there was a death in our family. He was a little dog named Snuggles, but he was most certainly a part of... Let's go start again. See, when you come out of those up-tempo goddamn numbers, man, it's impossible to make those transitions. And then you got to go into somebody dying. You know, they do this to me all the time. I don't know what the hell they do it for, but goddamn it, if we can't come out of a slow record, I don't understand it. Is Don on the phone? Okay,
the phone.
I want a goddamn concerted effort to come out of a record that isn't a up-tempo record every time I do a goddamn death dedication. Now, make it, and I also want to know what happened to the pictures I was supposed to see this week. This is a last goddamn time. I want somebody to use his brain to not come out of a goddamn record that is that's up tempo, and I got to talk about a dog dying.
I hear you, Casey.
We're gonna miss him.
That's the best.
Sounds like every day I work here. I feel Casey's frustration.
Really does.
Who do I have to talk to get him to goddamn wait for me to play the throw-up sound effect? Is Don on the phone? It's me in the hallway
Don?
After every segment I do. You know
that's
Don.
Awesome. I don't know
on the sixth floor, Don.
I'm not.
Does he work with Hartman?
Yeah.
Because I'm confused now.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Brittany Howard of Alabama Shakes is 25 years old today. Camilla Bell turns 27. I got no idea.
Because usually hot chicks with the name Bell, they deserve one.
I got the list.
Not familiar.
You have to read them out loud.
Okay.
We'll have to slap Camilla Bell into a search engine and see what happens.
Right.
Efren Ramirez is 40 years old today. Actress and talk show host Kelly Ripa celebrates her 43rd birthday. She needs a meal, that Kelly Ripa.
She absolutely does.
She's got to have a Sunday. She really needs some pound cake.
Yeah.
Whatever it takes, just a little something. Kelly, you're dying on us.
I'd give her some pound cake.
Camilla Bell, yeah, Bell away.
Okay.
Yeah. Lorraine Bracco, of course, probably best known as Tony Soprano's psychiatrist on the show Sopranos, right? 59 years old today. Musician Sting is 62. And Tiffany! Tiffany!
Love it.
Who
still
do I
love
have
it.
To talk to not do birthdays out of a goddamn up-tempo song? Dot on the phone. Get Dot on the phone.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
Now that's the way to wake up right there. That's the way to do it. Morning, everybody. It's a brand new Kevin and Bean show. It is 24 minutes after 6.
We want to revisit a topic we talk about from time to time because it's fun and it makes a lot of people very uncomfortable, and that is words you hate. There's a new list that just came out just this past 2 weeks ago on HuffingtonPost.com, or as we found in the office yesterday, Dave calls HuffPo.
Mm-hmm.
So I know moist is going to be on this list, Kevin, because it always is.
Yeah.
But I would love to hear from our listeners because we're going to be opening up the phone lines for people to call in with words they hate at 1-800-520-1067. I would love to hear what it is about the word moist that always puts this at or near the top of every list we see of words that people hate. Why do you think it is?
Lisa May had a friend who we talked to many times, and she would literally cringe when it happened. You could hear her. And we could never figure out why.
Do you have any problem with the word moist?
No, and I don't think I have any problems with any words. I don't understand most of them. That helps.
Well, I think there's two different kinds of words that people hate. There are words that people have a, like, hair on the back of the neck stands up, creepy, visceral reaction to, like, panties, for instance, is a word for some girls. But then there are also words that you hate just because they're tired or slang or over, like, if somebody were to say YOLO to you right
yeah,
now,
yeah,
you would hate that, but that's not because you have any problem with the word. You just have a problem with what it means and how it's used and that it's just
– Right. It's overused.
Overused. Exactly. Yeah. But most of these, at least a lot of the ones on this list, and I think we've got some audio we're going to play here for you too, are the kinds of words that just for whatever reason – people just have a bad association with. Just something about that word just doesn't sound good or doesn't feel good. And I'm not sure I completely get why either.
Yeah, none of these are from overuse. These are just weird words that seem to strike people the wrong way. Here's a woman just reading the list. She's reading the words on the list, and this is the list that of words that annoy people.
Swag. Husband. Ointment.
Why now? Why do you think husband?
Unless somebody, like, maybe that would be a woman who has some issues
with
either getting married or not getting married, or yeah, maybe has a bad husband, or maybe it's men who think that somehow that changes who they are, and now they can't be their own person because now they're just somebody's bitch. I mean, I think a lot of these, I think a lot of these are just words that they just have something to do with where you are in your life, what's going on with you personally, and that's why you have a weird association.
Flaccid. Slacks. Yeast. Placenta. Panties!
What panties?
Damp. Moist. Moist. Moist.
Three moists.
Moist is always near the tops of this list. And again, why? The first thing I think of when I think of moist is a very good thing.
Uvula. Squat.
Squelch.
Crusty.
Coagulated.
Curdled.
Baloney.
Baloney.
Seminal.
Gubernatorial.
Hashtag.
Genre.
Babe.
Gluten.
Orifice.
Seepage.
Tweet.
All right, seepage I'm not a fan of. But I think that's because that you conjure up a very specific visual.
Kind of seepage, yeah. Yeah. Hey, where's smegma, by the way? I've not heard any smegma.
Oh, no,
on that
people
list.
Love that.
Okay, they're into that.
Sure.
One. Yeah. 1-800-520-1067. I want to hear from moist people, people who have problems with the word moist. Maybe you can explain why, but let's take a couple more. Is that the end of the
that's
tape,
it,
by the way? Let's take a couple more. Let's talk to Paul. He's on line one. He's going to get us going here. And this is a word in a million years. I couldn't have imagined somebody would call saying they have a problem with this word. Hey, Paul, what's going on, man?
Hey, what's up, guys? Morning, Lee May.
Good morning. Hey, it's good to be here. Instead of on vacation.
What's the word?
Buddy.
Buddy. Now, wait, do you hate that word or do you hate the way it's used in the wrong place because people that aren't your buddy call you buddy?
Exactly.
That's what bugs you. It's the usage.
Yeah.
All right.
So if you're at the post office or something and the guy behind the counter says, all right, thanks for coming in, buddy, that's the type of usage that would just drive you crazy because you think it's overly familiar.
Oh, yeah, way overly familiar.
Yeah, you're not buddies with anyone in the post office, I guarantee. Thank you, Paul. We appreciate the call.
Let's do one more before the break. Let's go to Jordan. He's on line three. Jordan, thank you for calling the Kevin Bean Show. What's that word you hate?
I hate the word noggin.
and a noggin is a word that some people use to describe a head, right? Somebody's head.
Yeah, when I was a kid, my dad would say, use your noggin, Jordan, and I hated that word.
I wonder. See, now this is interesting because, again, you probably wouldn't have any trouble with that word at all, except that it has a very specific memory for you, which is that your dad was bagging on you.
Yep, I blame it on my dad.
It's also a dumb word.
Yeah, terrible word.
All right. All right, good.
All right, have a swaggy and YOLO day. 1-800-520-1067. What's the word you hate? Your call's next on the Kevin and Bean Show. Talking about words you hate. Daniel writes in, Dear Kevin and Bean, I always hated the word genitalia. Whenever it is said, it's never in a good way. It always sounds so clinical and wrong, like some sort of rash or something. Maybe that should be between him and his doctor. Yeah. I don't know. Tom says, this is also a physical one. The word wound, as in an open sore. Yuck. That's what Tom says. Wound. He hates the word wound. Huh. So we're taking your calls at 1-800-520-1067. Words that you hate and why, if you can help us with that. Let's go to Ryan. He's on line five. Ryan's going to keep us in the medical field for just a minute here.
Hey, Ryan.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good. What's the word?
Pus.
Yeah.
Well, it's never a good thing if you have pus. That's for sure.
That also conjures up a pretty ugly visual.
Yeah. I mean, I wonder if that's just one of those words like vomit that just you don't like because you associate it with something so unpleasant, maybe.
Yeah, it's just a gross word. It makes you feel like you bit into a lemon every time you hear it.
Thanks for the call. Let's go to Megan. Megan's on line 6. She's got an unusual word for us. Hi, Megan. Thanks for calling the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hi. I hate the word chunk. It makes me think of, like, cellulite and flesh, which, by the way, is another word I really hate.
Open wide for chunky.
How about chunky?
Yeah, it's disgusting.
That's bad, too. All right.
So what do you do when you're shopping for peanut butter? You have to go with smooth? You can't go with chunky?
I definitely go with creamy peanut butter. I can't even look at the word chunk. It's so gross.
Can't even look at the word.
Thank you for the call. Appreciate it. Let's go to Kevin on line 8. Again, an unusual word for somebody to hate. Hi, Kevin.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Hi, what word do you hate?
Smear.
Smear?
Now, tell us about that. Why?
I don't know what it is. I don't know what exactly about the word, but every time I hear it, I just cringe.
Smear.
Huh.
Okay.
All right.
Thanks for the call.
I don't feel like we got the behind the scenes on that one much.
He may not know.
Yeah, that's true.
Mike writes in, taint. Enough said.
Oh, that's a comedy word to me.
Let's go to Amber. She's on line 1. She's got a crazy word to hate because this word is nothing but positive and good.
Hi, Amber.
Hey.
What word?
Tasty.
You hate the word tasty?
Tasty?
Yeah.
If something's tasty, that means you want it. It's yummy. It's delicious. It's awesome.
No,
what's wrong with tasty?
It's like pornographic or something.
What are you talking about?
Look, when you talk about a pus, for example, you go, okay, that's a negative. And Bean said, it's never good when you have it. But tasty
is... It's like a corny way of saying something's good, but in a pornographic way. It's just
why? Because it's based on the word taste. It tastes good. That's what tasty means. What could be wrong with something that tastes good?
You have no problem with taste, but tasty...
Nope.
It's pornographic.
Wrong.
All right.
That's wrong.
All right.
Do you like the word test but hate the word testes?
Both those words are stupid. But
all right, good.
Yeah. All right, she's got a lot of rules in Amber's little world, doesn't she?
Amber's our people.
All right, I don't even know what Frank is talking about here on line 2. Maybe Frank can enlighten us. Frank, what's the word you hate?
Mucus plug.
First of all, it's two words, but...
Second of all, what is a mucus plug, besides the band I saw at the Trube last night?
It's what comes out during childbirth.
Oh.
Oh, wow.
Mucus plug.
All right. Okay.
I'm with you.
I'm good with that.
Thank you.
Thank you for the call.
Let's go to David. He's getting us into a different category, I think, here of words. David, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show.
I hate the word anyways because it either follows like a weird, awkward silence or someone trying to cut you off and say that what you said means nothing.
Is anyways... accurate in any way, Bean?
I think anyways is incorrect. I think anyways is
always.
Just the way some people say the word anyway. I believe. I could be wrong on that, but...
Remember when the King of Mexico did that radio show?
Anyway, this is Super Dave on the Alt Show on 88.9. And before... So anyways...
Yeah. Yeah, I'm not sure if there is a legal way to use it anyways, but it cracks me up. I love it. All right, how about... let's go to Nadia. Nadia's on line 5. Again, she's talking about an awesome thing that somehow she's trying to turn into a negative.
Well, maybe it's not awesome for her. Hi, Nadia.
Hi. Hi, good morning.
Sorry.
I can't stand the word penetrate.
I can't stop thinking about that word.
But it's such an awesome word.
No, it's not. I hear it in, like, cleaning commercials or just in other contexts as well as, you know, the sexual one, and it just makes my skin crawl.
Really? Is it, I mean, does it just make you feel vulnerable somehow? Like, oh, I don't want to be around anything that's penetrating.
Yeah, probably. Or violated, I guess, is a better word.
Isn't that interesting?
My ears even feel violated.
Now, you don't have, and I'm not trying to get into a grim area here, but you don't have any past association with that word in a negative
nope.
way that you're aware of, right?
Nope, not at all. I think it's like an air freshener commercial even, and it,
drives you crazy.
Absolutely.
All right.
Thank you for the call. Appreciate that. Wow, we got some great ones coming in here. Let's go to Nikki. She's on line 7. She's kind of in the same boat as Penetrate Lady.
Hey, Nikki.
Come on, guys.
Hi.
So I don't like the word nipple.
You don't like the word nipple.
Again, always awesome. It's always good news if a nipple's in your life.
It's such a creepy word for such a normal body part.
But that isn't that the actual medical word for a nipple is a nipple? I mean, it's not like that's an ugly euphemism.
Right.
Yeah.
I just feel like there's never a normal moment to use it where it sounds good or easy to say, nipple.
All right. What would you call it then if you didn't want to call it a nipple?
I would definitely have to think about that for a minute.
Because that's the only word for that part that I know of.
You could go boob button, but I don't think that would work.
I think I'd like boob button rather than...
Okay. All right, Nikki. Thank you. Aren't these crazy, these calls we're getting? Michael is on line 8. Again, what's up with Michael? Welcome to the Kevin Abid Show.
Hey, Michael.
Moldy.
Well, yeah, again, that's always a negative, right?
It makes you just want to, like, vomit on the spot. Like, if you could use it in a food, like blue cheese, like, that's just, like... Another thing I hate, but that's not the topic, but moldy. Just...
Michael straight into he doesn't like cheese.
I like Michael. Thanks for the call. All right, let's go to Alex. This is bizarre. He's on line 2. Let's talk about a word that can't possibly have a positive or a negative connotation. It just is what it is.
Hey, Alex.
The word yolk, like egg yolk.
Yolk.
Well, it's disgusting.
It's disgusting. Huh. I mean, it's hard to say, right?
It's just the yellow part of an egg, though. Do you not eat them either?
Well, as far as if it's blended, like scrambled, that's fine. But just like having it like poached eggs or just like that straight, just the yolk coming out of it, I think it's just absolutely disgusting. And when I hear the word, I'm just grossed out.
All right.
Bizarre. Thank you for the call. Natasha writes in, Dear Kevin Abid, cockroach. That's the worst word in the world. And that's got to be one of those cases where it's just the word is too much of an association. Like there are people who would feel that way about spiders or snakes or whatever it is that they're most afraid of, I guess. All right. What do you have time for a couple more, Kevin? Who do you like?
Well, you know we got to go to line 5.
Let's go to line 5.
Because I believe she might be the original. I don't remember. Casey?
Yes, hi.
Hi. The word?
The word moist.
Moist.
Okay. Now, we talked about moist when we kicked this off. Can you help explain to us what it is about that word that puts it on so many people's list of words they hate?
Well, for me personally, my ex-boyfriend named himself DJ Moist.
That's just a bad choice in guys.
Yeah, I know. That's DJ why we are no longer together.
DJ Moist may be the worst DJ nickname I've ever heard.
Are you kidding? That's awesome.
Moist.
Yeah. So bad.
DJ Moist. That's awesome. Thank you for the call. We appreciate it.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and you are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show at 6:54. Joe Rogan, always an entertaining and fun guest, joins us right after the top of the hour here on The Kevin and Bean Show. The only thing standing between us and that is Ralph Grubman and the Showbiz Beat.
You're lucky to have me, you bastards. It is wetness day here at the Showbiz Beat, and you know I love lists. I love these lists. This one comes from Empire Magazine. You may not be familiar with Empire.
Never heard of it.
It is a British movie magazine. Great magazine, by the way. I get it. I have to get it shipped to me from England.
Really? By the way, you bring it up about 3 times a year, and each time Kevin has never heard of it, Ralph.
It's a great magazine if you're a movie buff. And they did a survey asking their readers to pick the top 10 sexiest men and women in movies. Now, keep in mind, again, it is published in England, so most of the responders to the survey are Brits, so that skews the lineup a little bit. But for the most part, I think they got it pretty dead on. Let's go through the fellas first. Number 10 was Bradley Cooper, then Hugh Jackman. Michael Fassbender was number 8. Robert Pattinson was 7th. Chris Hemsworth was 6th. Then the top 5, Robert Downey Jr. was 5th. Ryan Gosling at 4. Henry Cavill at 3. Tom Hiddleston was 2nd.
I don't know who that is.
Tom Hiddleston played Loki in the Avengers movie.
Oh, yeah, I like him.
I like him, too, but he's a slight little weasel guy. I don't think of him when I think of sexiest men in movies. Number 2? With his Loki stick? With his Loki-pokey stick?
I don't know.
And number 1, again, because this is a British magazine, you might find this a little curious, Benedict Cumberbatch.
Yeah!
He's definitely on the rise with the American ladies, too. They love that
they
dude.
They do. I don't get that either. Looks like a hamster.
He's got a
hamster face.
I love his projects. He's a great actor.
He's a great actor.
But
I don't want to bone him.
No, I don't either.
I didn't want to bone Khan. I don't want to bone the guy who runs WikiLeaks. I don't want to bone him. That looks good, by the way, that Fifth Estate, that WikiLeaks movie.
It does look good.
He's doing that South African accent, which is just awesome. You must get all the things out there for people to read and for themselves to learn. Love that South African accent. 10 sexiest women. 10, Zoe Saldana. Angelina Jolie at number 9. Natalie Portman at 8.
Sure.
Mila Kunis at 7.
Sure.
Emma Stone at 6. Then things start to go awry.
Then
things get hinky.
That was pretty
That's
solid.
A good list. Good
I know.
List so
the
far.
Bottom five, I was like there. Then number 5, Anne Hathaway was 5th.
Nope.
Well, she's
attractive.
Pretty. She's pretty.
She's fine. Is she hotter than the other 5 names that you mentioned? No.
No, that's right. I think
Anne Hathaway, I mean, she's pretty. She's a big movie star, of course, but if she worked in The Office, you would rarely give her a second look.
Oh,
I'd give
her a second look.
She's pretty.
I'd be shooting the upskirt video on my cell phone if she worked in The Office.
You know you said that out loud, right?
What? Kristen Stewart was 4th.
Oh, okay.
Now, come on. Smile on your brother. Everybody get together.
What kind of BS is that?
Mistakes have been made.
Jennifer Lawrence, 3rd.
Yes.
There you go.
Now we're back on
now
track.
Now we're back.
Scarlett Johansson was 2nd.
Sure.
Okay. Thank you.
And number 1, again, these Brits, they love their own. They love their own kind.
Farrah Abramson?
No, not Farrah Abramson, Kevin. Any guesses the number 1 sexiest woman in movies?
They love their own kind.
According to Empire Magazine's readers.
The Queen.
The Queen. How weird is that? Queen Elizabeth II.
Ralph Garman.
Ralph Garman, also a strange choice for sexiest woman in movies. Emma Watson.
Hermione. Okay. She's a gooder.
Come on, listen to the other names.
Yeah, she's not Angelina Jolie, of course. Yeah, obviously.
I agree. Charlize Theron's not even on the list.
Yeah. Yeah.
For corn's sake.
Emma Watson is, yeah.
Anyway, there's your list.
All right.
Oh, this is the greatest.
Kevin,
news.
You ever heard of Empire Magazine?
Nope.
I've never heard of it. We don't read it on the part of bus. This is the greatest news I've ever brought to you.
Wow.
Wow.
Pretty big sell. All right.
On October the 8th, a new album will be released. It's called Ponder the Mystery.
Ponder the Mystery.
Ooh. I know.
The singer is 82 years old, and his name is William Shatner.
Yeah!
A new Shatner album. All original music with Bill and Yes keyboardist Rick Wakeman.
Mama.
Yeah. This is from his last album.
Just killed a man. Put a gun against his head. Pulled my trigger. Now he's dead.
Mama.
Mama.
While the last album had the benefit of being covers.
Oh, this is original?
This is original music. I'm assuming it's all been written by Bill.
Awesome.
I brought some tracks in for you to listen to. Again, the album drops on October the 8th, but if you want a little preview, here's a track called Where Does Time Go?
Where does time go? I finish the dishes. I go to the store. Before I know it, time is no more. I plan for the weekend. I drive to the sea.
What's happening?
Lunch at the deli. No time for tea.
All right, stop it, Phil. Your to-do list is not a song. Lunch at the deli. That's a lyric.
I had to get gas.
I mow the lawn. I rake the leaves.
What's wrong with
I polished my shoes.
That's so weird.
I went shopping for underwear.
I think I love it.
Stop it.
I do. I think I love it.
His has-been record from a few years ago that he did
awesome.
With Ben Folds was a great album. I'm not saying that ironically. It was genuinely
excellent.
I agree.
Common People is one of my favorite songs of all time. His cover
he did a great
Common
job
People.
With that. Yeah,
but this is all original music, and it all sounds like prog rock with just him talking over it. It sounds like Yes tracks that didn't make an album that he's talking over.
Love
like,
it.
Do You See? Lyrics by
My Eyes Are Blinded.
My eyes are blinded.
But not my mind. And I find I can see better without my eyes.
No, you can't. You can't see better without your eyes.
That's a fact. Everyone who has eyes sees better than people who are blind.
Who don't have eyes.
And then my favorite one, So Am I, is the name of this song.
He's only a dog, you may say. He's lying around and in the way. But not for us. Not for us. Love comes in many forms. Paws and tongues and lots of leanings. Everything a dog does has meaning.
Stop it. Not everything a dog does has meaning. Usually they're licking their junk.
Couldn't love it more.
Ralph, I'm being told that Mr. Shatner will be signing copies of the new record at Amoeba the day it comes out next Tuesday at 6 p.m. if our listeners want to line up for that.
I couldn't love it more.
There's some of the original music. 15 tracks of original music from Bill Shatner. An album called Ponder the Mystery, where he talks about how he can see better without his eyes, having lunch at the deli, and how everything his dog does has meaning. These are songs.
He doesn't have the Alzheimer's in real life, though. That was just Eddie Crane, right?
I believe so. Okay. Yeah. Today's celebrity birthdays are in the other room, so look them up yourselves, people. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
What I think about all the guests we've been lucky enough to have on the Kevin Bean Show throughout the years, and I put together in my mind that top 10 list of our favorite guests of all time. Joe Rogan would not make that list, but he is awesome, and he does join us right here on the Kevin Bean Show.
Thank
right now. Hey,
God.
Joe, how are you, man?
I would way rather be like number 19 or something. 1 through 10 is too much pressure. You don't want to be that guy. There's plenty of people in this world. You don't have to be top 10.
And always excited when Joe is in town, as he is, because he's appearing at the Ontario Improv this weekend, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, ontario.improv.com. You've been doing, it seems like, more stand-up than usual lately, Joe.
Yeah, I'm really enjoying it, because I was doing that TV show, and it took a lot of my time up. And one of the things that happens to me whenever I do anything other than stand-up is I realize how much stand-up is awesome and how much I miss it. And, you know, it makes
what is
me
it,
wanna...
the immediacy or the...
It's the immediacy. It's also not having to answer to other people and not having, you know, there's a lot involved in making a TV show.
The TV show is on Sci-Fi called Joe Rogan Questions Everything, and that took a bunch of your time and you couldn't do stand-up then?
It was also that, and doing the show, I mean, Sci-Fi was great, the production company was great, there was no complaints whatsoever from any of those, but the show itself is about a lot of conspiracy theories and a lot of, you know, UFOs and Bigfoot. And one of the things I realized, like, halfway into shooting the season is that most of these people are just crazy.
Yeah.
That's a huge percentage of what you're talking to.
And you came at it from an angle of you really want to find some information out.
Allegedly.
Right.
And by the way, most of Joe's interviews went like this. Joe saying, yeah, but what's the proof of that? And the other guy saying, I just told you. That's what the guy saw.
Yeah.
That's how most of those interviews went.
That's the real problem with, like, UFOs and a lot of this stuff is there really isn't anything. There's nothing that you could bang on with a hammer, nothing you could hold in your hands. There's no real evidence. The photographic evidence, there's a lot of it that's fake.
Right.
I don't know if it's all fake, but there's a lot of it that's proven fake. And there's the other problem is that people are just liars. Like, there's so many people that just lie.
Are they lying on purpose, or do they really think?
Some no. I mean, it's a broad spectrum.
Yeah.
But whether it was Bigfoot or whether it was UFOs, whether it was all these different things.
You're talking about the UFO thing, and that guy you were talking to said, yeah, I have a buddy who works at the whatever, and he said this and that. And you're like, yeah, but that's just you know a guy. What's?
And it's also that when you're seeing – these are hour-long interviews that we chop down into a couple minutes. And after a while – I mean, it looked like I was really short with the guy. But it was after an hour of him telling me, you know, and then he said that, and then he went to the – you know, the general told him – if you go anywhere near there, I'll kill your whole family. I'm like, do you know that this happened? Like, how do you know that this happened? Like, who told you this? Well, the guy told me. And
were you disappointed, Joe, that you didn't get some of those questions answered that you were
No, I just wanted to have fun. I mean, the idea of the show was to approach all these things completely objectively and do it with comedians. That was the idea. It's like, let's go looking for Bigfoot with Duncan Trussell. So that's what we did. And we had a great time doing it. It was a lot of fun. But along the way, you realize that what's going on with a lot of this search for mystery, is really people that have midlife crisis. You're finding a lot of people that their social life isn't what they would like it to be, and they're searching for mystery.
Right.
And there's some real mystery in this world, but there's also a lot of BS. And the real problem with these things, these mysterious topics, whether it's ghosts or Bigfoot or UFOs, is you get mostly BS.
Which of those were you most surprised by? Which of the the topics that you did?
Bigfoot is the most fascinating one to me. It always has been.
You did say on that show you've been fascinated by that since you were a child.
Well, it's because it used to be a real animal. There was a thing called the Gigantopithecus that lived alongside human beings as recently as 100,000 years ago. They didn't find out about it until the 1920s. There was a guy in an apothecary shop in China that found these enormous primate teeth, and he was trying to figure out where they came from. He knew they were too big to be gorillas. He knew that they weren't a human being, and so they asked the people who ran the shop, "Where'd you get these things?" And they brought them to this place. They found other bones and jaw bones that seemed to indicate this is a bipedal animal. So this is an enormous 8 to 10 foot tall bipedal primate that lived alongside people is essentially Bigfoot. It really was Bigfoot.
But isn't that, I mean, that's Khloe Kardashian that you're talking about. That's just a throwback,
first of all,
right?
How dare you? How dare you? She's just a girl with a freaky mom.
But she's an awfully big girl. All right, so you're saying that there was a Bigfoot 100,000 years ago.
There was something like it.
So what happened to it?
Well,
where'd it
go? There's also other hominids that they're finding very recently. Like in the early 2000s, they found that hobbit man on the Flores Island. Islands, Homo floresiensis. It's this 3-foot-tall, tiny, like chimpanzee-like humanoid, and it existed much more recently as 14,000 years ago. They found these bones of this thing. So this, and there's also a thing called the Orang Pendek that I believe is in Indonesia, and this is another like small animal that's supposedly like a humanoid type creature that most likely exists. No, how dare you again?
I'm going to have to go back.
You're just zinging everybody today. I see what you're doing.
I'm going to have to go back and look up a lot of words from this.
Well, these hominids, what they're finding is that there was a lot of different chains of humans. It wasn't just human beings, Homo sapien, and Neanderthal. They found another one in Russia as recently as 40,000 years ago. Total new branch of the human chain. And there's a gang of those, apparently, that existed. And most of them died off, except for us. The idea is that there may very well be this little tiny thing, this little Orang Pendek, that might still be alive, and some people believe the Sasquatch.
Why wasn't there YouTube 40,000 years ago? That would make life so much easier for us now, wouldn't it?
Even today, they're still not getting any video. Yeah. I mean, people have phones everywhere with high-definition cameras on them, and no one's catching anything. Most likely... It's either non-existent, or if anybody's going to find it, it's going to be Les Stroud, that Survivor Man dude.
Yeah,
he's actually looking for it, and he's got a new show where he's just out there only looking for Bigfoot.
Right,
he had a real Bigfoot encounter, according to him, and he's the most believable person I've ever talked to when it came to Bigfoot sighting. And he had something in Alaska. They flew him in hours on a plane into the middle of nowhere, and he was living there for like 7 days doing his show.
Right,
and he had something that stomped near his camp bipedally, like what, boom, 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 in the middle of the night, and was going like this, like making like some kind of crazy chimp noise,
right,
like some animal primate type noise. So he believes in it. He believes it, or just heard it. He heard this animal noise, and he opened up his tent to try to get a camera, you know, to point it on it, and the thing ran off. You know, when he does these things, it's just him alone in the woods.
Right. With
it's
the
not like that other English bastard, that fake dude who's sleeping
in the hotels. Right.
Well, by the way, that guy's a smart one. Les Stroud's silly. He's out there trying to make fire with sticks, and the English dude's eating at the Four Seasons. He wins.
Totally. Who's the loser now, right?
Bear Grylls is having filet of sole with a fine Chardonnay.
I know we have to take a break, but why in that case with Les Stroud, if he had the animal in the vicinity of where his camp was, why couldn't he just radio and get some sort of a dragnet around that area and kind of close in and get and find that thing?
You watch too much CSI, sir.
Where does the dragnet come from?
In Alaska. And they have to fly in a float plane. It was hours on a plane to get to that area.
You're so hung up on details, Rogan. That's the problem.
So questioning everything, Bean.
Right, that is your job. Hey, we got to take a break. The great Joe Rogan in studio with us here on the Kevin and Bean Show, on stage this weekend at the Ontario Improv. Friday night, Saturday night, Sunday night. You got, 5 big shows, ontario.improv.com. Tickets are on sale now. More with Joe after this on the world famous K-Rock.
Joe Rogan in the studio with us.
Hey.
Joe is working the Ontario Improv all weekend long, Friday through Sunday. Tickets at ontario.improv.com. Do you just stay out there, Joe, when you go out, or will you commute every day?
I commute. It's only an hour and a half at night.
But it's an hour away from all those kids.
Yeah, but in the drive, I think, and I listen to things and, you know, listen to podcasts and get my mind working.
Speaking of podcasts, how did you lose two joints last night? How did that happen?
They just fell out of my pocket. Yeah, if somebody finds a case, a little black case that has two joints in it, be careful. Okay? If you don't know what you're doing.
Joe's a professional.
You take little baby puffs. Give it to someone. If you have a big fat friend who smokes a lot of weed, give it to him first. Use him as your guinea pig. Let it soak through all those cells in his body first so you see the reaction. If he freaks out, don't touch it.
Why is it that everything Joe brings in or talks about is 100 times stronger than what everybody else can get, Kevin?
I'm desensitized.
Yeah,
I'm the typical American.
He's a pro. Speaking of drugs, and of course I don't endorse the use of any kind of drugs.
Me neither.
Joe.
Me neither.
But
I'm drinking coffee right now.
What is DMT and why is it awesome?
Well, it's dimethyltryptamine, and it's actually something that's produced by your mind. For the longest time, there was a lot of controversy as to whether or not it was created in your pineal gland, which is literally your third eye. It's a gland that's in the center of your head, and it is a third eye, in that reptiles have it, and it actually has a retina and a cornea and a lens. I mean, it literally is an eyeball, and it creates this incredibly potent psychedelic drug. They've now proven that in live rats, they cut open a little poor little ratty's head and found out that the pineal gland actually produces it in the live animal. So it's proven now that this gland produces this intense. And that's like, if you ever see those ancient mysticism artworks, it's always the third eye,
sure.
The glowing third eye. That's what DMT is. That's where it's created.
And what form do you take it?
You get it from plants and they extract it and break it down, and then you smoke it. Or you can drink it. Like if you've heard of ayahuasca, that's very popular now. A lot of people go to Peru and the Amazon and have these ayahuasca ceremonies. And what ayahuasca is an orally active form of DMT. DMT is so common that your body produces something to squash it. Your body produces a chemical called monoamine oxidase. And monoamine oxidase breaks down DMT in the gut, because otherwise you would be tripping if you ate a salad, because a lot of like grass and a lot of plants have dimethyltryptamine in it.
But what if we want to trip when we're eating a
salad? Then you have to, the way the Amazon Indians figured out how the Indians, indigenous people figured out how to do it is they combine the leaves of one plant with the root of another plant. So it's the vine of another plant. So it's a natural MAO inhibitor along with this DMT, so it makes it orally active. It's also probably what Moses experienced when he saw God. Even like modern day like academics believe that what he was talking about was a psychedelic experience, and the burning bush being God. One of the most common bushes in that region is the acacia bush. And the acacia bush is rich in DMT. And so this burning bush giving him all this knowledge totally makes sense, and that he saw God in a vision of this burning bush.
I feel like I need DMT right now.
Yeah, well, it's an incredibly potent psychedelic drug. I describe it as mushrooms times a million plus aliens.
Wow.
It's the most intense thing you could ever have. I've had friends that have done acid and mushrooms, and I have a friend who recently did it. He did it last week, and he had done everything his whole life and thought he was like Mr. Psychedelic, and he'd never done DMT, and then he did it last week, and he's like, this is a million times crazier than anything I've ever done in my entire life.
First of all, kids, don't do drugs.
Don't
if you're
do
listening
it.
To the
don't
Kevin
do it. Don't
Absolutely
do it.
Don't do drugs. But second of all, what did he see or feel that made him think it was so much more of an experience than the other stuff?
Well, it's impossible to really explain because there's no context in real life. But what you experience is another world. It's like you enter into another dimension. It sounds like such nonsense. it totally does. But it's the other thing about it is it's a really quick experience. Your body brings it. It's one of the most transient drugs ever observed in the body. Your body takes it from this full-blown experience back to total baseline zero in like 15 minutes.
Really?
Yeah, because it's in your body. Because it's a normal thing that your body processes on a regular basis. It's
That's
a part
awesome, because if you start tripping and you're having a bad time,
yes.
You just know it'll go away.
Hang on, bitch. You got 15 minutes. But it's also what's interesting is it's very much like dreams. And it also is produced, they believe, during REM sleep. This has to be substantiated, but they believe that during REM sleep, one of the reasons why you have these incredibly fantastic dreams is dimethyltryptamine, along with some other psychoactive chemicals produced by the brain. And it's also one of the reasons why dreams are really hard to remember after they're over.
I always wondered that.
The same thing with trips. These DMT trips, you have to write them down or record them, record what happened right after it's over, or 10, 15 minutes later, you're like, what was it about? What happened? There's some sort of a protection mechanism inside the psyche, inside the mind itself, and it may be a chemical protection mechanism that keeps you from remembering these things. The idea among the people that think in more fantastical terms is that what you're experiencing when you take DMT is exactly what you experience when you die, that you are literally entering into the great beyond and that you're getting a peek behind the curtain. You're lifting up the wiring and you're looking under the board of life and you're getting a chance to see that this dimension that you exist in, this material dimension of touching things and seeing things, is only one aspect of reality. And it's the aspect that we are most comfortable being in, but that there's something else out there. We just don't tune into it all the time.
Right.
And that what dimethyltryptamine is a chemical gateway. And this chemical gateway allows the mind to tune into something that's there all the time.
Do you like it?
It scares the crap out of me, quite honestly. I do like it. I mean, I have done it. I've benefited from it greatly. I don't do it very often. I'm a proponent of the late, great Terrence McKenna's idea. And if you're going to do a psychedelic drug, you should do a lot and do it very rarely. Do a large dose very rarely. And then sit down after it's over and try to figure out what the hell happened and see if you can get anything out of it. I think that's the big thing about – I don't try to escape reality. What I try to do is explore it as deeply as possible. And that sounds real pretentious, but I'm not trying to like hide. What I'm trying to do is find.
Which is what a lot of people do is
sure.
Hide
people self-medicate and they take painkillers and they take a lot of things that numb them. And I understand that too. And I'm not judging. But what I'm saying is that what a real psychedelic trip is about the most – the deepest possible exploration of reality and trying to do so with the ego contained. And most psychedelics, whether it's mushrooms or whether it's DMT or a lot of them, they squash the ego. And I think the ego and the chatter inside the mind is one of the things that confuse people as to like their own perceptions of themselves, reality itself, their interactions with people, what, you know, how the interactions with people are actually going and how other people see them.
I would pay $1 million to see Bean on DMT. I would. That would be awesome.
It's hard to see. I mean, when someone's on it, you just sit there with your eyes closed, and then when it's over, you open your eyes and you go, wow.
We have to take a break, but before we do, I just have to ask real quick, because I know you saw this video out of the TV station in Arizona last week of the crocodile. Did you see the crocodile?
Crocodile?
Yes.
What is it?
This is the Russian drug that people are taking shooting it up, and it has like paint thinner in it and gasoline and all sorts of good stuff, and it eats your flesh from the inside out.
Oh, yeah, that sounds great.
It's horrific. It's
that needs to be next for you.
It's people. Why? No, that's the people that like are having a problem with heroin, I guess.
Yes, because it's cheaper. It's a third of the cost of heroin, and apparently it feels just like heroin. It's cheaper, but your life expectancy if you're using crocodile is about 2 years. So
wow.
Yeah, it's the vision. So the images online are horrific. People bones exposed, their flesh rotting away. Yeah, that's this.
So don't do drugs.
The
kids.
Problem with the word drug is that it's such a giant blanket that we throw over a bunch of different non-related experiences, whether they're psychedelic drugs or whether they're painkillers or whether it's just alcohol. There's so many different effects that can be achieved by these things that fall under the same label, and it's. I prefer the term psychedelics, and I know it is a drug and that it affects consciousness, but it's not the same type of thing. And I think that if you talk to a lot of scholars that have studied this, they believe that psychedelic drugs are probably at the root of most religious experiences, at least the original ones, and probably responsible for a great deal of human evolution. There's, in fact, a guy named Terrence McKenna, who we talked about earlier, who believed that the reason that human beings actually evolved so radically different from the rest of the primates was the fact that we consume psilocybin mushrooms. And he ties it into the changing of the climate, meaning that the rainforest receded into grasslands. These chimps the chimp-like animals started following cows and eating these mushrooms that were growing on cow pies on a regular basis.
Right.
And it accelerated evolution.
But he was high when he came up with that.
Of course. He was. He was high every day. That guy never took a day off. He was a real trooper.
We got to take a break.
Man was a
Ontario
hero.
Improv, Joe Rogan will be talking about none of these things Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Tickets are on sale now at ontarioimprov.com. One more with Joe when we return on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock.
6.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 7:39.
That guy has a dreamy voice.
Yes, he does, right? That's is that Alice Genius?
Yep. Yeah.
Joe Rogan in studio with us right now. By the way, a lot of good Kevin and Bean shows still to come. I don't know if you watched The League or not, Joe, but funny comedian and actor, Steve Ranazzisi, is going to be joining us.
He's coming in. He's going to be here next.
In 20 minutes.
I saw him last night. I'm going to stick around. I'm giving him a big hug. I'll kiss him on the lips for you.
Fantastic.
I love that guy.
And your little friend Doug Benson is going to be here at 9 o'clock this morning.
Jeez Louise, it's a freak fest.
It's a party. Joe Rogan is in town because he's appearing this weekend in Ontario at the Ontario Improv, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, ontario.improv.com. I wanted to ask you this, Joe, because you seem like you might be speaking for many Americans on your tweets lately about your utter disgust with the government shutdown. What's going – why does this keep happening? And I know it's been 17 years since the last one, but why does the government continue to fumble the ball at every opportunity and we're just getting more and more disillusioned with these people that allegedly represent us?
I wish I followed it enough to give you an educated assessment of what's wrong. But clearly what's wrong is we have an antiquated system. We have an incredibly old system that's not necessary anymore. And we have massive amounts of fat, from the top to the bottom.
The government isn't necessary or representation?
The representation, the way it's established right now with lobbyists and Congress and all these pieces that are in place, they're all these separations that keep people from having an opinion and having their voice counted as one individual. They're not necessary anymore. People can represent themselves now. It used to be like really difficult for you to get your opinion out to people. But now, of course, with email and Twitter and Facebook and blogs and the ability to bank online, the ability to do all these things, you can represent your opinion fairly well. Like everyone can really establish pretty clearly what their feelings are on something. But we still have representatives. We still have this weird system, the electoral college system. It's all very, very antiquated. And it's also
like
very
less
confusing.
Done now than ever before.
They do. Well, they're a bunch of creeps. They're a bunch of creeps. And the system, there's no doubt about it. The system is utterly, completely, totally corrupt. When you find out that lobbyists are allowed to spend tons and tons of money, that corporations are allowed to spend tons and tons of money to try to pass laws that would allow them to make more money, and these laws might be against the environment, they might be detrimental to air quality and water pollution, all sorts of different things, but they get passed anyway because money gets put in the right places and coffers get filled. It's a mess. It's a real mess. And the bottom line about it all is that money goes ahead of humanity. I mean, that's the real one. I mean, it sounds like a total hippie thing to say, but that's the real issue, is that people are far more concerned with making money than they're concerned with the true engineering of the quality of the human race. And if they really engineered reality and engineered our society just to improve the quality of life for the people that live here, it would be a far different pursuit. And it's not. You know, it's not. It's about corporations and these gigantic, huge groups of people that it's all about making ones and zeros.
USA! USA!
Right?
Well, thank you for your service.
When King Joe is running things, it's going to be a lot different this country.
That's the issue. The real problem is
I vote for Joe.
We can't have a king anymore. We're not that dumb anymore. We're too informed. The idea of the alpha male, the one person who gets to like the one leader, that's nonsense. We know it's nonsense. And we really know it's nonsense now with Obama, because he was like the first guy that we were ever looked at. I looked at him like he's only a few years older than me.
Right.
Like this guy's us. Came from a single mom of mixed race. He's, you know, from Hawaii. Like all these things are he's not this blue blood weirdo that maybe Kenya. I don't know. Whatever. It's all one planet. But then he gets in and it's essentially Bush again. It's just if you look at like foreign policy, the drone strikes, what he's done against whistleblowers. That's
so
where
you've
it's
got no
really
one to root
confused.
For anymore. There's exactly. No good guy anymore in politics that you can throw your support behind because everyone sucks.
I don't think they get a chance. I think if you get to that position, if you get to that the position of being the one guy, the president,
right.
By the time you get there, you're so compromised. You're so compromised financially.
Because of the system, the way it works?
I think the system is really – it's set up to make sure that there's no heroes. No one's going to come in and JFK this thing. You know, you're not going to come in and get rid of the Federal Reserve. You're not going to come in and get rid of the CIA. You're not going to come in and disband the NSA. Stop. You're not going to change anything. What you're going to do is support the people that got you in there in the first place. And I think that at this point, human beings are realizing that the idea of one leader of the tribe, a captain, a chief, is silly. And the idea of this one person, you know, being our number one king, it's ridiculous. We should be able to figure out a form of government where it actually truly represents the greater good of the human beings that occupy this space.
Now it's nonsense you're talking
about. Exactly. Nonsense. It's all hippie nonsense. I'm the first to admit it.
All right, Joe, you've become a hippie.
I'm a hippie.
Can I change topics for a second?
Yes.
All right, I just wanted to ask you one question about MMA.
Okay, sure.
John Jones.
Yes.
If he's not the champion, if Gustafsson has the belt, does he win that fight?
Ooh, you know, that's a really good question. And I think that I have to watch that fight again, because when I watch fights, I try not to judge them as I'm watching them, because to judge a fight correctly, you shouldn't be talking. You should be sitting there and calculating this and that. And there's a few intangibles and subjectives, you know, like what's worth more, a punch or a kick, what's worth more, a takedown or a submission attempt. There's a few intangibles that can be sort of subjectively quantified, but I think that to watch a fight and to do commentary on it, I'm trying to be entertaining. I'm trying to describe what's happening.
You're telling the futures what you're doing. Well, watch his left leg. He's going to pass. Oh, there it is.
Yeah, but I'm also, you know, I'm talking.
Right.
And I'm trying to be entertaining. There's a sense of theater to it. So when it's all over, I thought it was really close.
I did too.
I had no idea who won it. And I thought we could easily hear, and no!
Yep.
It was very possible. It was that close. So I think that there's a good argument that Gustafsson won. There's an equally good argument that Jones won. There's an equally good argument that it was a draw.
Yeah. One of the all-time great MMA fights, though. That's for sure.
It was amazing. Couldn't have been more entertaining. I think it was, in my opinion, it was probably the greatest fight I've ever seen. Because it was so close.
And December 28th, is it 28th, 27th, whichever that is?
28th.
Oh, my God, I can't wait for that. That's going to be unbelievable.
Chris Weidman, Anderson Silva 2. Yeah, the rematch.
It's going to be awesome.
One of the greatest upsets ever.
Joe, we're so happy to have had a chance to spend a little bit more time with you today, my friend.
Is it over already?
I'm sorry.
That's outrageous. This is so quick. Between commercials and songs that pull my heartstrings, I don't know what to do here.
People can't handle more Joe Rogan than this in the morning. I'm sorry.
I can't handle me. If you're tired of listening to me, I'm way more tired than you are. So I feel
Ontario
you.
Improv, Friday night, Saturday night, Sunday night. Tickets available at ontario.improv.com. And don't forget the joerogan.net is where you want to go for the Joe Rogan experience. You can also get the podcast on iTunes. Follow Joe on Twitter at Joe Rogan. But stick around, because your little friend Steve's coming in.
I'm going to give him a big hug. Thanks, guys. Joe. Love you.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and you are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show at 4 minutes till 8.
We have Brian Deegan coming up next hour. He's going to be talking about the Off-Road Expo. I hope, Kevin, you will explain how off-road racing works again that you do.
Sure.
So brilliantly.
What is that one race? A lot of people don't know.
We don't have time for that.
What's
Sorry.
Difficult about this one particular
We don't
race.
Have time for that right now.
And if you don't understand it, you should turn to an expert like Kevin, who's got...
And now, it's time for A Moment with Kevin.
Yeah, it's so crazy. The dirt's so slippery, then you hit the pavement. Sometimes that's more sticky, sometimes it's slipperier. But there are some good accidents happen in this. And not just with cars on cars. You hit posts or something else. And it seems like avoiding that is the biggest key to winning that race.
Yeah. That was A Moment with Kevin.
This is making insanely good sense to me.
It is. Now you know. Now you've been schooled by the best.
Ralph is here now.
What keeps me going in hour two of that?
I don't understand that at all. When do you pull the ripcord?
I clearly knew early that it was going
you're
south.
You're plummeting to
Why
earth.
Why keep going?
And, the ground's just rushing up to meet you, and you're just like, all right, well, I might as well just hit the ground.
An unerring faith that I'm going to pull out of it, and I never do. I don't get it.
You're magic. That's what it is. Sad news this morning. Just breaking news. Legendary best-selling author Tom Clancy has passed away.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah. He died in a Baltimore hospital yesterday, according to the New York Times. He was 66 years old. Of course, you know Tom Clancy and his work. One of the most successful authors ever. Several of his books were turned into major motion pictures, including The Hunt for Red October, Patriot Games, Clear and Present Danger, The Sum of All Fears. His novels also inspired a series of wildly popular video games like Ghost Recon and Rainbow Six, Splinter Cell. So, really, one of the most successful authors ever. Passed away at the age of 66. No cause of death as of yet. The story's still developing.
Seems relatively young.
It is, yeah. So, obviously, something bad happened there, and it's sad news because he was very prolific and beloved by a lot of people. So, and he's one of those guys who just cranked out a novel. It seemed like every 3 weeks he'd have a new one out.
Yep.
He could just sit down and bang it out. Impressive. Speaking of banging it out, I played you the music of William Shatner that's on its way in a couple days.
That's going to be awesome.
Now I bring you even more good news from the world of music. Paris Hilton's back. Yeah.
Woo!
She is back with a vengeance.
This is what we've all been waiting for.
We're like, where's Paris? I miss her. I need more Paris. Well, she has just completed a new song with Lil Wayne.
Uh-oh.
Called Good Times. It's a very deep song, very meaningful song about the human condition, in which the two talk about just how hammered they are and how much they're just boning and drinking and boning.
That's what they should have called it.
Paris starts off the song with what I like to call the sorority girl mating call. I'm so tipsy. And then Lil Wayne just jumps in and just, yeah, F. This song will be out officially later next week, but they just teased us with a little bit. I thought I'd bring it to you today.
I'm f***ed up. Yeah. I can't tell you what's what. All she know is suck. I walked up to a big butt and asked her ass, but what? Don't she never slacks without a button up?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's
and a
hot.
Butt. She's drunk with a butt and a effing the butt.
Stop whoring around, Paris. Stop being a whore.
Paris Hilton's music career is not going to happen, and she should stop trying.
She ain't fat. What? You... Did you not just listen to the magic that we heard, Gene?
Yes,
that
I did.
Sexy little girl voice she uses that makes you...
But that's okay, because you're with me. Isn't she like 30 now or something, by the way? Isn't it starting to get sad?
It's just embarrassing. But she's also a wildly popular DJ over in the continent, you know.
That's what I hear.
Yeah. Let's take a look today's celebrity birthdays. Brittany Howard of Alabama Shakes is 25 years old today. Remember?
This is not your first time in Los Angeles, is it?
Never mind the
setup.
No,
of course not.
No.
I'm sorry. You want to set it up?
No, it's fine.
No. Sometimes you ask for it. Sometimes we just go for it. But we could do it the other way. Let's go the other way. Let's do the setup. Take two. And then we'll play it. I think
Brittany
it'll work
Howard better. Of Alabama Shakes is 25 years old today. Remember Beer Mug's in-depth interview with Brittany Howard?
No.
Yes.
So this is not your first time in Los Angeles, is it?
No, of course not.
No.
No.
Your experience when it comes to L.A.?
I mean, what am I... I'm experienced being on the earth.
Okay, okay.
She didn't even understand what was being said.
She's like, why would anyone ask me about being in L.A., first time experience?
You're experienced at being in L.A.?
You're experienced at being in L.A., right?
She probably walked away and said, what just happened?
You familiar with Philippine French dip sandwiches? It's a long-time standing restaurant in Los Angeles. Have you seen the hand, foot, and feet prints in the cement at Gramsci Theater? What are you, on the Board of Tourism?
It's not like you were on the beach in Nova Scotia or someplace like random. It's Los Angeles. She's had a major label record contract for 2 years. She's been to L.A.
Fantastic.
Did you know that the Hollywood sign originally said Hollywood Land in the 30s? Are you experienced about L.A.?
That's a bizarre question.
Idiot. Actress Camilla Bell is 27 years old today. Efren Ramirez, of course, you know him as Pedro.
I voted for that dude.
Vote for Pedro from Napoleon Dynamite. Kelly Ripa is 43 years old today. Lorraine Bracco celebrates her 59th birthday. Musician Sting is 62. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
Hey, Steve Ranazzisi, how are you, my friend?
I am well. Thank you guys for having me on.
Absolutely. Steve, of course, is one of the stars of The League, which airs tonight. Another new episode at 10:30 on FXX, which allegedly is a real channel.
It's the new thing.
It is.
The Extra X.
Was it good news or bad news for you when you found out that your show was one of the ones that was going to be making the transition to the Extra X?
It was confusing news because I didn't, you know, we didn't know what it was or what channel it was going to be and what it, how it could affect us. But we were then excited because they were like, oh, we're building a whole network based on your show and Always Sunny, and we're going to launch it with those two anchors. So, I mean, we were psyched then, and then we got all the questions of, what channel is it on? Where do I find it?
And then you said, I don't.
And it's like, I don't know, call your local cable provider. I don't know what to tell you. Even my dad was like, what channel is it on? I'm like, call your cable provider.
You just laminate like a cheat sheet and just pull it out of your pocket and hand
it to them. That's, and then like, you know, they could have made it a little bit easier, but it's a new channel, and you know, we're trying. It's all the comedies on FX will now be on FXX, and all the dramas will be on FX, and the movie channel.
You know, I've never heard it explained that way, Steve.
Yeah, now it's like what TBS did. Yeah, remember when TBS put all their comedies on TBS, and then all their dramas were TNT.
Right.
That's where I think they try to do the same thing.
I don't think I've ever heard that either. They should definitely be selling it that way. That's
well,
the way to go.
I guess when you it's pretty simple to kind of figure out. But I don't think they want to label it as like this is all our comedy. You know, everything's very ambiguous over at FX.
Right.
So
now there's no way in a billion years, if you're being honest with us, Steve, that you would have ever imagined at the beginning of The League that you would now be being renewed for a sixth season. This isn't
absolutely
the type of
not.
Show that lasts six seasons or more on television.
No. I mean, when we shot the pilot, we were laughing, and that was important because
that was the payoff at the time.
Yeah, I mean, I had done other shows and I had not laughed on other shows, so I was like, okay, this is something cool, and it'll go away very quickly.
Get to make one.
Yes, we're going to make this one. We're going to have a good time doing it, and that's that. But then, you know, I had never done a show on cable before where they actually created an environment that nurtured a show and helped bring it along and give it a shot to succeed. So, being in the nice hands of FX, they really helped shepherd our show along and give us a shot. I mean, first season was only six episodes. But they replayed them 100 times.
No kidding,
and they put them up on Netflix. And then as soon as Netflix people found it, bam. Our ratings doubled and gotten bigger and bigger and bigger each year because people find it on these other avenues that the network's not afraid to put it out on.
That's not a big vote of confidence, that six episode first season.
Well, it was mostly due because our show's so close to football that it's like we only started shooting in like late August. So it's we were like shooting and it was on like 2 weeks later. Shooting an episode, it was on 2 weeks later. So we were really close to home.
Whatever you can shoot on this one roll of film, that's what we put on the TV.
You guys have a Kodak camera and one roll of film.
And that's all you get.
No editing either. You got to do it right the first time.
But there are a lot of shows like yours that have a cast of very funny people, many of whom then break out and go on to do other things. And that kind of all kind of goes back to the mothership. You know, people who became a fan of Mark Duplass or of Nick Kroll or whoever, they go, oh, wait a minute. He's also on the other show. I'll check that out. It kind of reminds me of how Party Down started and then blew up, you know. Kind
it's
of
very
slowly,
similar.
Year after year, it gets bigger.
It got bigger and bigger, and the more people that found it, people, you know, with social media now, people were tweeting out, like Jonah Hill threw out a tweet one time that The League is so funny, and then people started following it because he thought it was funny. So, and now with all of us having our other avenues and doing other jobs and other shows,
yeah, you're all
like
superstars.
That, some,
right.
Yeah, I guess superstars, sure. Tell my mom. And but now it's great because people are like, oh, you know, I love Nick on the Nick Kroll show, but he's great on The League too, and you know, you just branch out and find more people that way.
Were you I know you do stand up and you travel and do a lot of that now was that how you started out in show business, with stand up
I mean, I started doing stand up in New York, and then I moved to LA in 2001 and got a job at the Comedy Store, and that really is what I consider my stand up start. It's just being there in that hellhole every night for what's been 13 years.
Do you have
now
what most comedians have, which is the nightmare story of, you know, two people or
Joe was just in here. Joe could tell you. I mean, there was the first 6 years of my life was spent watching Joe on stage on a Friday night destroy a room, having people come out. I was working the back door, and you telling them, you can't pee there, you can't vomit there, move out of the way, what's wrong with you? And then sometimes she would make the door guy, go after Joe. So this is Joe destroying for an hour. And then he laugh now? They hated us. Hated us.
Well, that's a terrible thing to do to you as well.
Oh, Mitzi Shore, it's going to make you better. Really? Is it?
I'm like, Steve, we have so much respect for people who have the guts to do stand-up and to stick with it, particularly at the beginning when they're bad.
Yeah.
Do you think that most people in the audience of a comedy club, and I don't know that I've ever asked any comedian this question before, but do you think that most people are rooting for you to succeed or to fail when you walk out on stage?
I think it depends. I think it depends on the time that you're going up at night. I think at the beginning of the night, people still want their money's worth, so they want you to be the funny person that they paid to see.
Okay.
But I think that tightrope kind of gets a little narrower as the night goes on because people are like, well, I already had my good laughs, so now let's see. Maybe this guy falls on his face. This could be – you want to see the tiger, you know, take a snap at somebody. So
right.
I think, as the night goes on, people just don't care. And
then if Rogan gives you an hour of wearing you out.
Yeah, then it's like, well, we got our money's worth or whatever. Right. Let's destroy this guy's dreams. Let's ruin this
guy's – the only thing that's keeping me from going home after a perfect night.
Yeah. This guy's stopping me from a DUI right now. That's the only reason I'm still here.
Did you ever get close to quitting?
You said six years. Was it really 6 years?
I was in the cover booth selling tickets and working the door from 2002 to 2007. So 5 years, yeah.
No, 2005, 2006, you didn't go,
no, I was on a TV show. I was on the show Punked in 2003. Right. So it was MTV, so they didn't pay at all. So I would do the Punks during the day and then go sell tickets at night.
Wow.
So people – and that show was on the air. People were like, aren't you the guy from Punk? And they just automatically assume that you're rich and famous.
Of course.
And I was like, yeah. And they were like, wait, is this a Punked right now? And I'm like, yeah, that's it. We're punking normal people now. And
well, they want to buy tickets.
Yeah. How many tickets do you want? I'm like, this is a Punked on my life. This is my Punked. This is my reality Punked.
Steve Radazizi is here on the Kevin and Bean Show. He is, of course, on The League, which has another new episode tonight. I think we're on, what are we up to? Episode like 4 or 5?
This is episode five tonight.
Five, yeah.
Yes.
That's it. 10:30 on FXX. We'll talk some more about that when we return. And also, believe it or not, a Comedy Central TV special that Steve has called Man Child, which is happening later this year. We'll get into all of that and more when we return after this on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock.
We have Steve Renacisi in the studio.
Well done.
You did. It's nerve. You get nervous.
I do.
It's a lot of consonants coming at you at one time.
Was there ever a time, Steve, where somebody sat you down and said, "You got to change that name, man. Just it's got to be Steve
Rana." Yeah, it did, but it happened. It was my manager. He's like, "Do you want to change your name?" But this was like 4 years ago. I was like, "No, I'm already as pretty established as I possibly could be." No, we're not changing my name now. You want to start over?
Scratch again.
Yeah.
Steve, of course, is an actor on The League, which airs tonight. Another new episode on FXX at 10:30. The show is hilarious. And I feel like I need to mention, and I know you have to say this a million times, Steve, it doesn't matter whether you care about football or fantasy football. That's not what the show's about.
No,
it's about a bunch of dudes and their crazy life, and it's hilarious, and you should definitely watch it.
Yes, whether or not you're a football fan, you just have to have friends that you hate. Your friends that you want to see fail and you know, made little.
We've all got that.
Yeah.
I hate to go back, but you mentioned that you used to work for Punked.
Yeah.
And that's been years since that show.
That was the first time.
And that was with Ashton, the powerful mind, or whether the imaginative mind of however they sold out of Ashton Kutcher. This is where you went out and pranked celebrities. But
yes.
You were the guy who he would send out to play the guy at the car wash or whoever, right?
I was the guy out there in the field. The field agent is what they call us.
I always remember thinking, like, that's the guy with guts.
Yeah. We were the ones that on the front line. I mean, I got swung at, like, by dudes.
You told that story on Conan, right?
Yeah, A-Rod.
A-Rod. Tell us do you mind
not at all. We were doing this Punked I was playing a waiter, and A-Rod was coming in. He was going to be traded from the Texas Rangers to the Red Sox at the time. Everyone was like, it's a done deal. It's going to be done. So I was going to play this waiter from Boston who did not want A-Rod on the team.
Okay.
So I just...
To his face, right?
Yeah, right in his face. His agent, his wife, everybody's there. But I put on the accent, and I was kind of... somewhat charming about it, but I was digging him the whole meal, and you could tell he was getting pissed. And
so you're acting as a waiter in a restaurant with A-Rod for the whole meal, and you're actually being the waiter. You're the one who's taking the order and bringing the food and all that.
All the stuff. I mean, I don't know what I'm doing, but I was doing all the stuff that you're supposed to look like you're doing.
Right.
Taking the orders and stuff and coming over, dropping stuff off. I'm like, here you go, Richie Rich. You know, like I'm dropping stuff over there. And then I just told him, I was like, you know, honestly, he's like, do you have a problem with me? And I was like, honestly, I don't want you on our team. I'm like, I would take Jeter over here. I go, at least he's won stuff in the past. And I'm just hammering him. And
he's probably not used to that kind of treatment
at all. And he, I think in his mind, he was wondering, why is no one else standing up for me? Now, his wife was in on it. His agents were in on it.
They were all in on it. Okay.
So they were kind of not playing along, but like laughing a little bit. So I think it really bothered him. And at the very end, I dropped the check. And I pull the old Clubber Lang from Rocky, you know, and I'm like, well, look, he makes a lot of money, but if you ever want to get with a real man, my number's in there.
He sent it to his wife?
To his wife. And then he promptly stands up, and he's, like, coming at me, and I was like, and he's got his, he's ready to go.
Right.
And I was like, oh, you're unpunked. And he's like, and Ashton was like, no, keep it going. I was like, no, I'm the one getting swung at by the gigantic athlete.
Why don't you come out here and keep it going?
Yeah. You're in a box somewhere. In a booth.
It's easy for you to say.
Yeah.
So how did he take it once he realized that it was all puck?
Then it was like, you could tell the wheels started turning. He was sitting down. He was finishing his meal. You know, Ashton's out there talking to him, trying to sign the paperwork, and he's not signing the paperwork, the release form. And then they were like, I think he was worried about how he's going to look.
Of course.
So then they said to him, look, we'll cut a version for you. We'll bring it to your hotel. If you don't like it, we won't air it. And him, very smartly at the time, it was right around the time of the Paris Hilton sex tape.
Right.
And I think in his mind, he was like, okay, if someone's cutting this together over at MTV and they find like a gem, how do I know they're not going to send it to their buddy at ESPN and they start running that? And that could, you know, make the whole deal fall apart. You're talking about hundreds of millions of dollars. So literally he called his lawyers.
And he said no.
The lawyers were down there and they're talking to all the MTV people. And before you know it, it's like 2 o'clock in the morning. There's lawyers there in like suits and like pajama bottoms and they're ripping up tape. Just ripping it up, like the actual physical tape that we shot on, just ripping it up.
Really?
Telling me how funny I was. You were so funny.
So it never aired and now it doesn't exist.
Doesn't even exist except in my mind. In my
Steve,
mind.
That's so sad.
That's awesome.
Been lost to posterity.
That's great, though. You know,
what's really funny, though, is that must be what it's like for A-Rod every day of his life now. Like, back then, it was weird that somebody would be so mean to his face, but now, everywhere he goes, he must hear that.
Yeah.
Like, even in New York, waiters must say, you suck, I wish you weren't on my team.
And especially now, knowing what he was up to back then, he could have ripped my face off.
He could have ripped my whole head off.
He could have done that without what he was on then.
Yeah.
Isn't it funny? I don't know how many punks you did, but isn't it funny that's probably your favorite and most memorable one, and it never even aired.
Yeah, that was the one that never aired. That was my most favorite of the one that never aired. And then my most favorite of the one that did air was Tracy Morgan, because just of his reaction. Tracy Morgan's just a funny dude.
He's crazy.
Crazy, crazy, yeah. Crazy.
What'd you do? Try to take a part of Shark Tank or something?
No, Shark Tank. He got a brand new Jaguar that he valeted, and then we put it up on a tow truck, smashed in the front window of a fake car, and then told him we were taking it to Barstow. I was playing a tow truck driver. I'm like, we're going to Barstow. It's Friday, bro. All the lots around here are filled. You can come pick it up tomorrow if you want. And he lost his mind. And then I started negotiating with him. I was like, all right, just give me like 200 cash and the rims. And he's like, you want my rims? He was like, I know you ain't taking this car to Barstow. I was like, I'm taking it to Barstow, Tracy Morgan. That was great. He lost his mind.
How did he react when he found out it was
Barstow? Oh, it was like... It was like you know when in those N1 dunk videos when someone dunks and everybody goes crazy around them?
Yeah, sure.
It was like people were jumping in the streets. His friends were doing backflips. They thought it was the greatest thing ever. People were going crazy.
Did he think it was funny after that?
He loved it. Loved. Oh, Ashton, you my boy. You crazy.
That's so fun that you got to have that show business experience working for that show.
Yeah,
that
was
awesome.
My first one ever. And they at that point, they were like, we're hiring you for the show. We're not even telling you what it is. And someone's picking you up. So I didn't fill out any paperwork or anything like that. Yeah.
Who hires you for a show and doesn't tell you what it is?
MTV, man.
Why?
Viacom. I don't know.
That doesn't mean
it was crazy. And I'm like, I'll do it. I'm here to work. This is what I want to do. So when I'm there, I'm doing it. And like one of his boys, like with like Kate, like got in my face. He's like, you ain't taking this anywhere, man. I'm like, oh, they're gonna kill me. And I'm like, and I haven't filled out any paperwork. My mother doesn't even know I'm here. I'm like, they could put me in a dumpster and say they never even saw me. Another tragic incident of a Hollywood actor gone wrong.
There's no paper trail. They can't
No, not even filled. No one has my social security number.
All right, listen, Steve, before you go real fast, the league is, of course, tonight, FFX at 10:30. Please, please, please watch that in every Wednesday night. You got two other things I want to mention before you go. One is TV comedy special on Comedy Central. Is this a traditional stand-up, like, one-hour show called
My first one-hour Comedy Central special. Yeah, airs November 16th at midnight, and it's a long, long time coming.
The very coveted midnight spot.
The very coveted midnight spot. So keep those peepers open and watch me at midnight.
And you are also on my damn channel, and I watch a little bit of the shorts that you put together called Daddy Knows Best.
Yes,
it's very funny.
The Daddy Knows Best series. Season 2 just came out on Monday, so they're all out there on my
damn
channel.
It's very awkward and very uncomfortable.
It's worst case scenario for parenting. Horrible decisions, parenting decisions made almost at every turn.
Well, Steve, it's great having you, and we appreciate
you
coming.
Thanks, guys.
Again, the league tonight, 10:30 FX. Hey, this Saturday, and Sunday at the Fairplex in Pomona. It's the Lucas Oil Off-Road Expo powered by General Tire. And our friend Brian Deegan, the general himself, is going to be out there all weekend long like you do. And he is on the phone with us here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hi, Brian. Welcome back, sir.
Hey, what's going on, guys? I have to excuse the noise. I'm at the motocross track. I'm sorry.
Well, look, you're calling from work. What could you do about that?
Exactly.
What are the Hangtown Amateur Nationals that you're at? What is that event? I don't even know that one.
Yeah, it's the amateur motocross event they have once a year. It's up in Sacramento, California. So it's my son's racing the 50 class, which is a kids class. And, you know, he's done really well. Just signed a contract with Factory KTM, and I'm right back into the thick of things in amateur motocross, and so it's exciting, so it's good.
It must be much more nerve-wracking to watch your son do it than it was for you to do it.
Way more. Yeah. It's so much more nerve-wracking. I'm like the dad on the side that's like the ultimate mini dad, or like the baseball dad that's freaking out, so little league guy, so that's me.
Are you going to get in fight with other parents because their kid ran yours off the track?
It hasn't happened yet, but I'm not going to say it couldn't happen.
Brian, I know this isn't why you called, and we'll talk about this weekend, but how old is your boy?
I just turned 7, so he races the 7-8 50 class, 50cc class.
And did you feel like there must have been a part of you that thought, I know what I've gone through in this sport. No, you're not allowed to do it. But then you thought, I'm just going to be a big fat hypocrite if I say no, because obviously my parents let me do it.
Absolutely. And that's the thing. I try to keep Hayden really away from the motocross races. I tried to put him in a cart, try to four wheels, a roll cage. He just didn't want anything to do with it. He wanted to go to the motocross track. So I took him. It hasn't even been a year. And, you know, he got into it. He loves it. And he's, like, motivated. You know, he won 5 titles this year and, you know, got a factory ride. It's something that I worked for my whole amateur career. And, you know, it took me my whole career to win 5 titles.
Isn't that fascinating?
So you'd say at this point he's better than you.
I would say absolutely at that age, at that time, absolutely.
Now, you are nowhere, even though you are a freestyle motocross icon and an off-road champion and a, you know, rally car legend at this point, you are in no way slowing down. You were just racing in Charlotte over the weekend. You had a big weekend there, and now you're heading to Southern California for a big weekend in Pomona, right?
Absolutely. You know, the four-wheel sports have been full on. You know, I've been racing Lucas Oil Off-Road Series, you know, one race to go to win the championship. And I flew overnight, red-eye to make it to Charlotte to race rally car, ended up second place there. I'm going to the Off-Road Expo. The Off-Road Expo is more of just me hanging out with the fans, signing autographs. There's actually a spot where you can come to the Orba deal and eat lunch with me. You know, all the benefits going to Orba to save the riding areas off-road. Off-road, I love it. That's kind of where I feel my heart is, and it's, you know, where I want to be.
Yeah, and let me give out that information because you casually mentioned have lunch with me, but you guys are doing something very cool this time around called Lunch with the Legends. And this is you with Casey Curry and Ivan Stewart, Shannon Campbell, Johnny Greaves. All those guys are going to be there. VIP parking, all access entry into the event both days. You're just doing a ton of stuff. And like you said, it's for a tremendous charity called Orba. And people can just go to the Off-Road Expo, you know, website and check it out and sign up for that, right?
Absolutely. Go on and sign up and come have lunch, and we'll talk about racing or whatever you want to talk about.
Well, it sounds like it's going to be a lot easier weekend than normal for you.
Yeah, so actually, I'll be at the Amateur Nationals all week. I'm going to fly out early Saturday morning, go do the event at the Off-Road Expo, then run back, get on a plane, and fly back up here to make it to the races. it's not going to be easy.
That doesn't sound easy. I was wrong.
Why don't you just drive it, Brian? Why are you a pussy taking a plane? You can imagine what kind of time you could make from Ontario to Sacramento.
I know. I should just get my race truck and pin it.
There you go. Well, you are the busiest guy out there, man. How long has it been since you've broken a bone? I feel like you're in a pretty good patch right now.
Hey, that's good. Thanks. Knock on wood, I hope.
Yeah, way to bring it up, Bean.
How long has it been? It's been a while, right?
I was just talking about that the other day. I said it's been a long time since I've been to my good ortho surgeon, and that's good because it's been about 4 years, so I'm excited. The car racing has worked.
Sure.
I'm still getting the thrill and going out there and getting able to build great products and do cool things with four wheels.
Well, you are living the dream, Brian. It's always great to have you on the program. Again, go to offroadexpo.com for all the details about the Fairplex in Pomona this weekend, the Lucas Oil Off-Road Expo, and, of course, briandegan.com. Follow him on Twitter at MMGeneral, man. Have a great weekend. Good luck to your boy, and we'll talk to you again soon.
Yeah, thanks for having me. It's briandegan38 on Instagram. So thanks for talking to me.
Thank you.
106.7 KROQ is KROQ, and this is the Kevin and Bean Show at 8:52.
Our friend Doug Benson joins us for the 9 o'clock hour this morning. That's coming up here on the Kevin and Bean Show for a Wednesday morning right now. Ralph's got the showbiz beat. Good morning, Ralph.
Good morning, boys and girls. Sad news in the world of literature. Best-selling author Tom Clancy has passed away at the age of 66. I've been looking up this story all morning long, and I cannot seem to find a cause of death yet.
Yeah, because 66 seems a little young for
him. Very young.
Sure does.
I know he died in a Baltimore hospital yesterday. Or Baltimore, as they say in Baltimore. Of course, legendarily, his books were turned into many successful films, including The Hunt for Red October, Patriot Games, Clear and Present Danger, The Sum of All Fears. Chris Pine will be rebooting the Jack Ryan franchise in a new Tom Clancy-based film coming out soon. Of course, his books also inspired a series of wildly popular video games like Ghost Recon, Rainbow Six, Splinter Cell. Passed away at the age of 66 this week. Again, cannot find a cause of death yet, but I'll keep looking. I think it was a government assassination.
Do you?
Yeah.
SEAL Team 6?
A little ricin.
That's what I'm guessing. He was into a lot of weird stuff.
He was, man. He knew stuff. He used to be an insurance agent, Tom Clancy. Did
he really?
Yeah. No kidding. Here's finally a show that Bean can compete on. ABC is announcing their new reality show, new competition reality show.
All right.
Lights. Camera Christmas, it's called.
I am in. Tell me more.
Lights, Camera Christmas.
Yes.
It's the name of
this. That's what I have to do.
I'm so out already. It is a new competition series in which 16 families from these great United States will trick out their homes for Christmas.
That's a terrible idea.
Oh, so this is like a competition for Christmas decoration and lights and things like that?
16 families. Chosen through a nationwide search based on their previous Christmas light displays, choreography, and over-the-top designs, will compete four at a time in weekly playoffs after being given 21 days to make their homes as Christmassy as possible. The four finalists will then be flown to a secret surprise location to compete against each other for the best Christmas gift ever, $50,000. $50,000, you cheap bastards. Joe Schmo, we gave a guy $100,000 and we were cheap.
By the way,
the whole family, give more than $50,000.
There are people who spend that on their crazy outlandish Christmas decorations. You can spend that much just getting your house up to speed these days in the competitive
Lights,
world of Xmas decorations.
Camera Christmas.
Isn't there anyone who knows what Christmas is all about?
Yeah.
No.
It's about decorating your house to get $50,000. Lights, Camera, Christmas.
I love the title, and I'll watch the show. But I prefer a nice, tasteful holiday decoration. I don't overdo it. I think too much is gaudy.
What you do is leave your tree up all year long.
I do that because it's Christmas every day. You know that.
You know what? Turns out about Christmas, it's not every day.
That's true.
It's one day. It's one day of the year.
Science.
It's the opposite of what you just said. That's what Christmas is.
I went to sleep last night listening to my Christmas playlist on my iPod.
You know nobody likes you, right?
That's how I dozed off. Come on, it's October now. It's practically Christmas for everybody. It's not just me.
Nope.
Here's a stocking stuffer to get those near and dear to you if you're starting your Christmas shopping early. William Shatner's dropping a new album.
Yay!
Uh-huh. That's right. If you're a fan of Shatner's and prog rock, you're going to love the new album, Ponder the Mercy. Excuse me, Ponder the Mystery. It'd be mercy if they stopped playing it, but...
I love it.
Rick Wakeman, former Yes keyboard master, has teamed up with William Shatner for an album of brand new tracks. This isn't the covers that Bill has done before with his last one. What was Reaming the Spaceman or something, whatever it was called?
I don't know. I don't think that was it. But
Reaming the Spaceman.
Was
I think it?
Was All right.
Yeah. And he did a bunch of covers, mostly sort of space-related songs and that kind of Space Cowboy by Steve Miller and songs like that. This is all original music. And I thought I'd play some tracks for you. Here's one from Bill called Where Does Time Go?
Where does time go? I finish the dishes. I go to the store. Before I know it, time is no more. I plan for the weekend. I drive to the sea. Lunch at the deli. No time for tea.
Oh, jeez.
He's got no time for tea.
Sounds like just a series of bad tweets put to music. Lunch at the deli. Instagram. Picture of a salami on rye sandwich. Come on. Try.
This is great.
It's not great.
I could not be happier.
Kevin, when Bill stops by your table at the horse show, be sure
yes.
to ask him
to
what's going on.
Get him a copy of Ponder the Mystery for you.
Would you?
Oh, that's going to be so good.
Yeah,
for charity
when
auction.
Does this Tuesday. Come out? Tuesday it comes
Tuesday.
Out.
Tuesday, yeah, brand new. By the way, Shatner will hit the road on October the 23rd with a concert in Hermosa Beach, California.
And where does the time go?
Then he's going to do some other dates as well. So
is he doing Where Does the Time Go? I feel like having some tea. Is
the
that
audience
on the playlist?
Would be horribly disappointed if he didn't play the hits, Bean. Of course.
I'm eating a scone. Where does the time go?
Your story is a beautiful story.
Thank you.
From my point of view, yeah. It's a beautiful story. Thank I love your story.
Thank you, Bill. We love you, too. Today's celebrity birthdays, Brittany Howard of Alabama Shakes is 25 years old today. Camilla Bell celebrates her 27th. Efren Ramirez played Pedro, of course, in Napoleon Dynamite, 40 years old. Kelly Ripa turns 43. Lorraine Bracco's 59 years old. Sting, legendary musician Sting, 62 years old.
Had a new album come out on Tuesday of last week.
No songs like Where Does the Time Go?
That's true. No, nothing that good. But he is still out there, still making it happen.
And legendary musician Tiffany is 42 years old today. Tiffany!
I remember this song being better.
You have to be in a food court to appreciate the music of Tiffany.
Didn't she do one of the awesome sci-fi monster movies? Her
yes.
and Debbie Gibson had
yes.
some sort of a fight in a swamp
they
or something.
They had Mega Python versus...
Super Crocodile or one of those.
Croc-a-hamster or something. I forget
but it was, I'm not
it was
lying.
It was
Tiffany
it was
and Debbie Gibson,
ones. Right?
I think
it was the shark ones. I think it was like Mega Shark versus... whalepus or something.
I want to see a croc-a-hamster. That's what I want to see.
I want to see a whalepus.
It was Gatoroid.
Gatoroid.
Gatoroid. There you
Gatoroid
go.
Gatoroid versus what?
Megapython.
Megapython. Versus Gatoroid. Yeah,
sure.
And they had a big wrestling match in the swamp, and they got all dirty
right.
and wet.
That's what yeah. I thought, yeah.
And then they said, you hear something? And Tiffany said, no, I think we're alone now. She actually said that in the lyrics.
F that.
I had a thing for Tiff back in the day.
I was more of a Debbie Gibson guy. But
Tiffy was sluttier.
They're both attractive.
But Debbie was like, hey, I'm wearing a hat. Aren't it cute? But Tiffany was like, yeah. I got tight-ass jeans on. Got my teased hair. I got big old jiggly boobies. And I'm doing you in the mall.
I had a crush on nobody. She ended up doing Playboy, too, didn't she?
Hell to the yeah.
Yeah, I thought so.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
That's a lot of Tiffany.
Slut.
A lot of Tiffany memories for 2013,
stop
isn't
with
it?
Your slut-shaming, Kevin. She was just a fun girl, that's all.
That's what I meant.
No, you didn't. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show business.
Kevin, if I were to say to you
Doug
that
Benson.
A friend...
Hey.
That's the correct answer, actually, yes. The question was going to be, if I were going to say to you, guess what friend of the Kevin and Bean Show was tweeting at 6 a.m.?
Oh, it never would have been Doug
wouldn't
Benson.
Wouldn't Doug Benson have been the last name on that list?
Yeah, that was weird.
Well, it's interesting.
6 o'clock.
It's funny to me that smoking a lot of pot is equated with sleeping in late.
It's a because slacker. It is associated with slacking.
You gotta wake to bake, fellas.
Yeah,
right.
But you don't have to wake at 6 a.m. to bake.
Right. Nobody, Doug, gets up at 6 a.m. unless they have to. Part of the reason people become comedians is so they can work at night and sleep in.
Yeah, and then we have road gigs where we have 7 a.m. flights to get there, and we have radio appearances to do either on the phone or in person.
So you hate us right now?
Early in the morning. I'm just saying that I've acclimated to, being more of a morning person because of my success in comedy.
Okay.
When I first started in comedy, sure, it was the greatest job to stay up late and then sleep all day. But now it's.
Well, we were shocked, and I honestly thought that there was no way you were going to be able to stay awake all the way until your 9 a.m. appearance. I thought you would tweet at 6 a.m. and then somehow fall back asleep and miss this
whole interview. Well, I joked about it on Twitter because I could have. Going back to sleep was certainly an option.
Sure.
But
and an attractive one.
Yeah, but I was actually enjoying the show today. I listened to, both those guys are my friends, Joe Rogan and Steve Razanaza Newsy Neasy. And I'll never learn how to pronounce his name correctly, but he's a great guy.
He's a great guy.
Yeah, I could say The League on FXX. I've had a fun morning listening to you guys and doing all my busy work that I have to do
today's a big day. Today's a big day for you.
Yeah, it is. That's another reason probably why I woke up early.
That could be.
Today it's like I'm going to Disneyland.
That's
because
right.
I am launching a web series with my friends over at Jash, YouTube channel Doug Benson. I have my own channel there now. At 4:15 PST, that's Pacific time, today, you can watch me get high on a live stream with some person with some notoriety. It's usually going to be comedians, but whoever I can get.
Now,
I'd like to have Bean on, of course.
That'd be awesome.
Forgive me. Everyone's tried to get me high, by the way. Everyone.
But maybe one time, like with cameras rolling, you would want to try it. You know,
it wouldn't kill you. I'll consider that.
Okay.
Now, Doug, you told us about this last time of year, and you told us it was happening. We thought, yeah, there's just Doug. He's just dreaming big, stars in his eyes like he do. But now it's actually happening, and it starts today. Now, our fear was that lots of people smoke pot, but very few would want to do it on camera for whatever reason. Has that been a problem in booking?
Well, at this point, we have the first 4 or 5 weeks of the show booked.
All right.
And,
so not really.
And the people are amazing. But they're also people that, everyone kind of knows or assumes that they smoke.
Right.
So they're not really coming out of the closet as much as they're just being willing to.
Yeah, you're not getting John McCain on or somebody like that.
Yeah. They're people that are just willing to do it on camera and to appear with me on a talk show where, anything can happen because there's really not that much of a plan.
Are you working on getting John McCain? Because I think that would be cool.
Well, of course. I mean,
he'd be an awesome guest.
We're, by working on it, I don't know if that's a good expression. It's more like, we just have kind of a wish list and we put it under our pillow every night and we'll see what happens.
Now, Doug, forgive me if I'm remembering this incorrectly, but I thought it was going to be at 4:20.
Well, it starts at 4:15.
Right.
Because if it starts at 4:20, that's just like, that's like 0 to 60.
Yeah, you've missed the moment.
Yeah. So we start at 4:15. I say, here's my guest. What kind of weed would you like to smoke today? Chit chat for a couple of minutes. I'll have an indica and a sativa available.
Okay.
And whatever fun variety that's popular this week.
Sure.
And then at 4:20 exactly, we will both hit the pipe or whatever we're going to be using.
Now you can do that legally because there's no proving what it is.
We can do it. Well, we could do it legally in California because me and my guests. I hope my guests will have their medical marijuana card or letter.
You're not allowed to be friends with Doug unless you have a marijuana medical card. That's
true. But a lot of them don't, because California, especially if you're a white person living in California, you're not really too scared about getting caught smoking weed in your home.
Right, exactly. Yeah.
So you guys will fire it up, and then the interview continues as you consume, and then how long will it go, or do you not have any idea? Like, it could be 30 minutes, it could be 3 hours, we don't know?
No, this isn't the Joe Rogan experience. It's we're going to try to run a tight ship. We're going to shoot for ending at about 5 o'clock, so it'll be like a 45-minute show.
All right.
Okay.
And but with marijuana consumption the entire time. I don't want anybody coming on and just taking one hit and then, having a regular conversation.
You can't babysit the joint.
I want to see where it goes when we're too high.
All right.
Possibly to be on television.
Now, you've got a great first guest. Our friend comedian Jenny Slate is going to be on.
Yeah.
She's a very, very talented comedian, very funny actress. What is her move when she starts getting high? Like, does she get super talky or super giggly, or do we know yet?
I don't know. I don't think I've ever gotten high with her. I might have, shared a joint with her backstage somewhere at some point, but I've never really had a serious session with Jenny Slate. So I'm excited.
So we'll find out.
I'm excited.
These could be the best
interviews
ever, by the way.
Could be the best. Also,
right?
Might
but that's
not.
But that's a win-win in my book.
Agreed.
Awkward is almost as much fun as as fun as actual fun.
You can go to you. It's just your own channel, youtube.com/Doug Benson, and then we'll find you at 4:15 this afternoon. And then the shows get archived afterwards.
Yeah, they'll be available there
on my
channel and Jash,
okay.
And anywhere else that people cut and paste it. I assume some of the interviews, hoping some of the interviews go really wide just because of the nature of it. Like the time Zach Galifianakis smoked on Real Time with Bill Maher,
right?
It was amazing how much attention that got. It's a live show on HBO hosted by a huge pothead,
right?
And everybody was all over Zach, like that was the craziest thing a person could do. He could whip his D out and it would be less of a big deal.
The show is called Getting Doug with High, and it debuts this afternoon. There's a lot of other stuff going on in the world of Doug Benson, and we will talk about it all when we return right after this on the Kevin and Bean Show on Kira. Our old friend Doug Benson in studio with us here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Again, if you're just tuning in, look for him on his own YouTube channel this afternoon at 4:15 for the premiere of Getting Doug with High. He's going to be smoking out or something with Jenny Slate. It's going to be awesome. That's live. That starts today. Doug, you also are going to be taking your Doug Loves Movies podcast to the people this weekend. People can come see you in person in Santa Monica. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, Saturday night at 8 o'clock at the – it used to be the Sheraton. Now it's called the La Meridian Delfina.
All right. Too fancy. That's too fancy.
Way too fancy. But that's the hotel down in Santa Monica, and it's 8 o'clock Saturday night. And then after my show, there, I think if you buy a ticket, you can stay for all the comedians who do podcasts that are in town this weekend are going to do a big stand-up show. And then on Sunday morning, I'm going to do a 10:30 a.m. edition of my one of my other podcasts called Dining with Doug and Karen, and it's going to be a brunch edition, and we're going to have three chefs from the L.A. area preparing little bites of brunch for the entire audience.
You have a really weird life. That's really bizarre.
I have a life where I just turned a corner one day and realized that if I love something, I should make a podcast or tell jokes about it because that's how you can, make it come true and make it a part of your life. And so I get free food and free movies and free marijuana because of all of my endeavors.
You're a genius.
And
you're the best life in the world.
Yeah. You're just a genius.
My favorite one is I tweeted once a joke about the Goodyear blimp. And then within a few weeks, I was riding in the Goodyear blimp.
What the hell?
Yeah, that was like...
I've been tweeting about Kate Upton for like 2 years now.
Yeah,
I've
why aren't you anything? Riding in her?
Nothing! Doug, do you go to the theater a lot to see movies?
I do. I just got back from a film festival in Austin, Texas called Fantastic Fest, where I saw 3 to 5 movies a day for 10 days.
Yeah. For 10 days?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's a lot of movies.
It's just you get up in the morning and you go down there and you sign up for movies you want to see and you find out which ones you got tickets to and then you just go see them. But fortunately, it's at this place called the Alamo Draft House, which I hope they open one in L.A.
They're going to open one in L.A.
Yeah,
that's happening.
Because it's full bar and full restaurant brought to your table by people who are super quiet and super
sweet.
Like they run by, crouched over so they don't even go across the screen. and it's the best way to watch movies.
And they throw people out that talk or text or anything
like
that. They're Nazis when it comes to that.
It's crazy. It's crazy intense. And the Fantastic Fest is this crazy festival run by the guy who started the Alma Draft House. And that's where last weekend when I was there, I got to watch a woman and Elijah Wood slap each other across the face as hard as they could. Because at the after party on the last night, slapping, I don't know what you'd call it, but slap fights broke out. Like people would step into the center. Like it was almost like people were
like
breakdancing in the middle.
A dance battle?
But instead it was just slapping each other in the face really hard.
And that's a thing now?
And they gave
do?
Out free tattoos at this party, and lots of people got them. They had a platform you could jump off into a professional stuntman airbag to feel like what that's like.
I'm going to the wrong parties.
It really is a fantastic fest.
Wow.
Yeah, and I love those guys. And I do my Benson movie interruption shows. I do them now at Alamo Draft Houses all over the country. I just go into town. We pick a movie that'd be fun to make fun of, and I sit in the front row with a mic and tell jokes the whole time, which I also do here at CineFamily in Los Angeles.
What a life.
I'm so busy, I barely have time to smoke weed.
Your friend Joe Rogan was in earlier today, and he and Kevin were talking about how Riddick might be one of the worst movies of 2013.
Why did Joe even go see that?
That's a great question.
He thought it was like a mirror. He thought it was him in that movie. Like he tripped out and he thought he was Riddick. I don't know why he went.
Why don't you explain why people went to see it?
Well, I went. It looked like my kind of movie because I love any kind of action, any kind of.
You liked Pitch Black. The first one.
Yes.
The second one, Chronicles, wasn't as good, even though it had the word Chronicles.
It wasn't nearly as good. And this one, I walked out of. It's one of the few ones because it was just him sort of by himself for the first half of the movie.
Yeah, like and, he's Wall-E or something.
Yeah, it was like the camera was close up on him, and then it was his voiceover along with his talking. It was just too much him and nothing else. It was terrible.
Well,
it's a terrible movie.
It also reminded me of like how we had too much Tom Cruise in Oblivion and too much Will Smith's kid in After Earth. Like there was a summer of let's watch one person walking around on a futuristic dystopian planet.
Very few people can pull off the only person on camera for a long time.
Yeah, yeah, and that's Captain Phillips.
Exactly.
And that new Robert Redford movie where he plays the guy who gets lost in the ocean. That's pretty much a one man movie.
Yeah, I don't
too.
Know
that's
about that one.
Excellent.
Oh, and you know, and Sandra Bullock, of course, is caught out in space in Gravity, which they showed that at Fantastic.
You saw
Fest.
That? Did you see that?
I did, and here's the thing I've been saying to people about it that makes them so excited. It's 90 minutes long.
Okay.
Instead of two,
when was the last time
hours,
any
right?
movie was 90 minutes long? Everything is if it's under 90 minutes, it's an indie movie you're watching on VOD. Like everything is 2 hours, 2.5 hours, 2:45. Everything is way too long. This movie
is
exciting from start to finish. 90 minutes, get the hell out.
Now I'm so happy to hear you say that, Doug, because Kevin and I were just talking about this movie yesterday. I think it looks amazing. I mean, I obviously love George Clooney, I love Sandra Bullock, I love this director, the guy who did The Children of Men and everything, and it just looks claustrophobic and terrifying and exciting to me. But Kevin thought, just from the trailers, that it kind of looked boring, like not that much happens.
I don't know. It missed me, and I've seen everywhere. I'm the only person. Like everybody loves it. It's getting great reviews. People who've seen it say it's exciting. I can't.
Did you love it, Doug?
I don't feel anything.
If the trailer didn't excite you, if the idea of, like, you know, finally getting rid of Sandra Bullock didn't excite you, I don't know what to tell you. No, she's great in it, and it's I was less wrapped. I have the same feeling as you in that. For the first few minutes, I was kind of like, oh, I get what this is going to be, and I don't know if I'm going to love it.
Right.
And then as it went along, I just got more drawn into it because the few characters that there are very well played and written, and it's chattier than you expect it to be. It has more ideas in it than you would expect. But the bottom line is,
I don't go for ideas, though. Let's be honest.
But the bottom line is, I saw it just in 3D on a regular screen, but I can imagine in IMAX and 3D, it is one of the most spectacular, like perfect science fiction space things ever made in terms of how everything looks. And
all right,
it's very well done.
And, I heard there was an astronaut,
but you might not love it.
There was an astronaut who said, "If you want to know what it's like to be in space, go see this movie. It's the closest thing that's ever been filmed.
It's really
what it's
like.
Like
when they're sort of flying around and trying to grab at stuff, it's really you really feel like you're in it with them and how." how terrifying that could be.
For a pothead, Doug, you have a steel trap mind when it comes to movies, coming up with titles and actors. What was the film that was similar to this in that it was two people who were stuck in the ocean and they had sharks around them?
Open water.
Yeah. That was another
And it was what's-her-name that was super hot.
Yes. Something Bob Blanchard, I think.
That movie was great, though. I loved that movie, and that was basically just two people just talking and just waiting for their inevitable doom, right?
Yeah, but also, I bet more people are afraid of getting eaten by a shark than being lost in space.
Yeah, probably.
You know, it's less it's more relatable.
I don't know. Look, everybody seems to love it. Everybody seems to love this movie, so.
Yeah, I there will be people to be disappointed because now we've probably pumped it up too much. But I think it's very well done.
All right. Getting Doug with High happens this afternoon on the YouTube Doug Benson channel. That's tune in at 4:15, please. First guest is going to be Jenny Slate, and that's going to be every Wednesday, right? That's the plan. Wednesday is going to be your go day?
Yeah, we're going to, as long as I can get there and, LA traffic and that time of day, we're going to go live every week.
And your podcast is going to be Doug Loves Movies is going to be this weekend. That's going to be Saturday night. That's part of the 2013 LA Podfest, by the way, which is going to be happening in Santa Monica. And it's unbelievable that people like, that Mark Maron is going to be down there and Jimmy Pardo is going to be down there. Aisha Tyler, so many, Allison Rosen, so many of the great podcasts all going to be there for all weekend long. People can go and just see a lot of great entertainment. So
yeah,
good stuff, Doug. You got a lot of good stuff coming up, my friend.
I try. Oh, and Ontario Improv on October 16th. See Joe Rogan there this weekend. And then come back and see me a few weeks from now. I go in on a Wednesday. I'm not fancy like Joe Rogan.
That's where they put all the best comedians is on a Wednesday night. Everybody knows that.
I call it Hash Wednesday.
Thanks, Doug.
Thank you.
6.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and you are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show at 9:40.
Ralph Garman is here. Time for our final look at the showbiz beat for a Wednesday morning Kevin and Bean Show. What's going on, Ralph?
All right. We need to have a little conversation, all of us, about television.
Okay.
Last night, Agent of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Right.
Great episode.
Okay. I haven't seen it yet, but I taped it.
Great episode. I'm not going to spoil anything for you. You really enjoy it.
All right.
The ratings are in.
Okay.
S.H.I.E.L.D. lost a third of its audience from its premiere episode and last night's episode.
And I'm guessing that's not acceptable.
A third of its audience.
And that's good or bad?
Not good. Not acceptable. Having a conversation with everyone now listening to our show.
Okay.
Stop it. Start watching Agent of S.H.I.E.L.D. This show goes away. I'm going to be so pissed off. And I know where you live. I'm coming to your house.
You don't know where everyone lives.
I know where they live. How do you think radio works? How do we send it to them if we don't know where they live?
That's
we have
a good
to know
point.
Their address in order to get them to signal, Kevin. Why don't you open up a
blog
schematic? That's how radio works.
When you say stop it, what you want our listeners to do is stop not watching Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Thank you, Bean. You've crystallized my thoughts.
So watch it.
Yes, Kevin.
Okay.
All right.
So if it had Duck Dynasty numbers, we wouldn't be having this conversation.
That's right. Everything would be fine. We'd all be living happily together. But now you're starting to piss me off, people. You wouldn't like me when I'm angry.
That's didn't it debut to huge numbers, though, so it can still come down a little bit and still be a reasonable-sized hit on the network, right?
The launch bested a four-year ratings record for a dramatic premiere.
All right.
The biggest ratings for a premiere of a TV drama within 4 years. So big, big numbers. Slips 33%. That's not okay. I would have accepted 15%.
That would have been all right
acceptable.
With you? Okay.
20 if you're pushing it. Yeah. Not a third of the audience. No, you can't lose a third of the audience. Because who knows, ABC will go, they get all willy-nilly over there. We don't need that. We don't need to get nervous. This needs to be a solid next 5 years. I want to see this on my TV schedule. Don't start with me, people.
I don't know why people wouldn't watch it. I mean, it has Clark Gregg,
awesome.
Who's awesome. Has two incredibly hot chicks in it. Has lots of action and adventure and intrigue. It's a spinoff from the most popular movie of last year.
Thank you, Bean.
It's got
Thank
a lot of
you.
Things going for it.
Thank you.
And it's hilarious.
Thank you. Also, speaking of ABC, are you watching Back in the Game? The new James Caan sitcom?
I didn't. I knew that one wasn't going to survive more
Shut
than
up.
About two airings,
See,
so I didn't even bother.
You're part of the problem.
I don't know that one.
Because it looked terrible, and there's no way
it's and funny.
It will be canceled before Halloween.
Stop it. It's great and funny. You should die. You know what? Why don't you watch it first and then be wrong?
Because some
just
shows
be wrong.
Because
out of the
some
gate.
Shows you can tell how horrible they are just from the trailer.
Ralph, no, you know can't. That we don't need information to be wrong.
No, really enjoying Back in the Game on ABC. Yeah, tonight's the next episode. I think 8:30 tonight. James Caan.
Maybe it's last one. You should definitely check it out.
Stop saying that and die.
It's going to be gone soon.
In that order.
Or die first, because then that'll take care of the stop saying that part on its own.
Now, I don't know if this makes you feel better or worse, but Dave reminds us that your Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. last night was up against a very special NCIS.
Oh, I know. He said goodbye to Ziva.
Apparently, Ziva is, he or she is no longer on the show.
Stop it. Stop telling me that like it's something.
No, I'm saying that may...
We all say goodbye to Ziva. Tonight on a very special episode, Ziva makes her farewell. What about Ziva?
No one knows who Ziva is! Stop saying Ziva!
But maybe that dragged some people away who might otherwise have watched.
I'm going to drag you into a shallow grave in about 20 minutes.
He's just asking questions.
I don't like it. I don't like his questions. I don't like his voice. I don't like anything that's happening.
Maybe that's why it was tough for S.H.I.E.L.D. last night, but maybe next week it'll be better. I'm trying to give you some optimism, some hope.
You all right?
Not okay. TV's not...
That's not correct. That is invalid. Completely invalid.
TV is not working the way I like it to work. This is good news, though. BBC has decided not only will it roll out the 50th anniversary special of Doctor Who on November the 23rd. It's coming up, Day of the Doctor. Very exciting.
Yeah.
But they're also going to screen it in 3D in selected theaters across these United States of ours. So maybe you don't want to sit at home and watch it on television. You go into a movie theater, you see it in 3D on the big screen. It's exciting news.
No!
Oh, man. I'm telling you, can't wait just to... Right in the...
What about Ziva, though?
Just the...
What about Ziva? When we say goodbye to Ziva, but as a Bruce say farewell to Ziva.
Those commercials are making me nuts.
Who is Ziva?
No one knows. No one cares.
An actress who got killed on the show?
What makes you think I have any more information about Ziva than I've already given you?
Because I don't know who any of those people are.
Because you're the showbiz beats Ralph Garman. That's
Ziva.
Why.
It's all you need to know is she's Ziva.
Okay.
Speaking of saying goodbye, best-selling author Tom Clancy has passed away.
Kind of a shocker.
Yeah, 66 years old.
Means touching sound effect tribute.
Just passed away at the age of 66 in a Baltimore hospital on Tuesday, according to the New York Times and his publisher. Several of Clancy's books, of course, a best-selling author, many of them turned into motion pictures, including the Jack Ryan series, The Hunt for Red October, Patriot Games, Clear and Present Danger, The Sum of All Fears. Start off with Alec Baldwin. He was our first Jack Ryan.
Mm-hmm.
Then the baton got passed to Harrison Ford, of course.
Yes.
And then Ben Affleck came in and ruined the franchise.
That was a terrible movie.
It sure was. Take heart, Batman fans.
But Chris, that was not good.
Chris Pine is bringing the franchise back with the Jack Ryan film, so we'll get to see that soon.
Tom Clancy won't.
Wow.
Oh, it starts already.
You're just a ray of sunshine. You're a big freaking rainbow tied in a bow.
Too soon.
Here's something that'll cheer you up. Paris Hilton's got new music. Yeah, that's right. She's back. You know, all you people are saying, I miss Paris Hilton.
I didn't hear anyone say that.
New video and song that she collaborated with Lil Wayne on. It's called Good Times. And it's really, I think, an examination of our culture, of what we think is important or not, about youth, about fantasy, imagination, perhaps the importance of being a significant role model in the lives of a young person.
I listened to it earlier. I didn't hear any of that.
Oh, wait a minute. No, you're right. It's about getting effed up and then having unprotected sex.
Right. There's that.
Preferably in the butt. Paris is just could not be more auto-tuned than she is in this song.
Literally.
She sings the...
Which literally, though, B?
Literally.
Okay, right.
She sings the chorus, and then the verse is Lil Wayne talking about how effed up he is and how she's going to enjoy his manhood.
Right.
Here's a little taste. I'm having a good time, 'cause I'm having a good time, and I might be a bit tipsy, but that's okay 'cause you're with me.
Up. Yeah. I can't tell you what's what. All she know is sup. I walked up to a big butt and asked her ass, but what? Told she never slacks without a button up.
Yeah.
Well, it sounds like every other terrible song on Kiss FM, so I'm sure it'll be a big hit.
I'm sure it will.
I don't know, though. It sounds like it's
everybody
worse.
To the dance floor. Everybody to the dance floor.
It sounds like it's a little worse because that little baby voice. That's got to drive people crazy. I'm having a
guy. Have you heard the new Selena Gomez song? It sounds just like
not.
That.
It drives me crazy.
Yeah, it's sad.
It's not sexy.
Take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. Brittany Howard of Alabama Shakes is 25 years old today. Remember when Beer Mug had that in-depth interview with Brittany Howard of Alabama Shakes? Remember that?
So this is not your first time in Los Angeles, is it?
No, of course not.
No. Your experience when it comes to L.A.?
I mean, what am I? I'm experienced being on the earth.
Okay, yeah. Okay.
She was flummoxed.
Well, of course. What kind of question is that?
Because that first of all, the question was asked, is this your first time in L.A.? Which, obviously, she's a major musician, and she's had a lot of trips to L.A., I'm sure, to work on projects and sign contracts.
Be on TV.
But then he had a follow-up.
Then there was a follow-up. Once she said, no, I've been to L.A. before, he followed it up with. So you're experienced in Los Angeles?
What does that mean, Muggs?
What was that all about?
What does that mean, you're experienced with Los Angeles?
I don't know. That was just many, many hours of me sitting at a round table interviewing musicians.
Yeah.
All right. Well done.
Thank you.
Fire Beer Mug.
Are you experienced?
Fire Beer Mug! Fire Beer Mug!
Beer Mug's the Jewish Jimi Hendrix. Camilla Bell is 27 years old today. Efren Ramirez turns 40. Kelly Ripa turns 43. Lorraine Bracco. Was famous, I guess, for her work in, first we fell in love with her in Goodfellas. She was Liotta's wife, Karen, in that film.
Karen! Why did you do that, Karen? I needed that, Karen!
And then she was Tony Soprano's psychologist.
That's right.
On The Sopranos. Sting, 62 years old today, and singer Tiffany celebrates her 42nd birthday today.
I don't know if you play that crap. Do
hell,
I?
You do.
This
yes,
song
you,
does not.
It's a great song.
I
we
remember
love
it being great. But
I love
when you hear
Tiffany.
It now. It's terrible.
It's awesome.
Remember Tiffany Ralph also did the worst Beatles cover of all time.
Oh, I saw her standing there.
I saw her standing there. Remember that was another hit she had.
Yeah, she sure did. Oh, that feisty little redhead. Oh, I wanted to. I wanted to get her right out of those acid wash jeans and just teach her the ways of the world. See if the carpet matched the drapes. You know what I'm saying?
Nope.
You with me, fellas?
Nope.
Hello. Is this thing on?
Yep.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. Tomorrow morning on all new Kevin DeBeach Show, Eric Andre will be in studio. That boy crazy.
He's nuts.
He's just insane.
Now, I missed him last time. I was out.
You would have enjoyed his visit so much
so
last time.
So I have missed the magic of Mr. Andre.
He's
going to
make you very
fun.
Unhappy, which will make me very happy.
Yeah, I think Bean's not going to like it.
Oh, and he's going to hate it.
Because it's just nonsense.
It's chaos. And there's no control.
It's chaos.
And he won't let you do what you do, Bean, which is like to tightly control every interview and just massage people in the direction you want them to go. He won't stand for that.
You're right.
So he's like, he's the new Richard Simmons, basically.
Because Richard Simmons made a little sense.
Okay.
Here's Eric Andre.
You're listening to 103.17. Ow, the werewolf. Bringing you the best in easy listening. Tony Bennett. Frank Sinatra. Cum laude, cum laude. And Dionne Warwick with Mankind in a pay-per-view cage match this July 19th. You're listening to K-Rock, the Peruvian atomic bomb.
Now, here's the thing that I need to tell you is that was not him recording something afterwards. That's what he did when he sat down for the interview.
That happened during the interview.
I don't want to have any part of that.
I was just looking at him like, I'm not needed, but I'm enjoying this. I think I'm going to love it, and you're going to hate it.
That is not for me at all. I urge
totally
your listeners to not listen to that.
It's
tomorrow.
Awesome.
Yes.
Dr. Drew will be on the program tomorrow. Rich Eisen from the NFL Network and Slash will be in studio talking about his Halloween movie. So that's coming up tomorrow on an all-new Kevin and Bean Show.